Show. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Special election night edition. As that sage and philosopher Bugs Bunny once said, here we are, Pismo Beach, and all the clams we can eat. I don't know if it's that merry an occasion, but we're here, and, well, at least we can keep ourselves company. This is the Horn. It is the sixth day of November 2012. It is election night, or whatever it is we call this dummied up, phonied up, ginned up, rubed up, faked up, frauded up dog and pony show that passes for electoral politics in this country. More on that later. Ordinarily, it would be Titanic Tuesday, and I guess it still is. And it may turn out that this election is a Titanic F-up. No, really, this is the Horn, headonradionetwork.com. What we do here is something we call conversation radio. And we have, we've been doing it for, we're into our eighth year of doing it now. And it seems to have some resonance with folks. I'm glad of that. So, the lines will be open pretty much all night tonight. There's a lot for folks to get off their chests, I suppose. Hopefully you were paying attention in your own various and sundry jurisdictions and can report in on what's been going on where you are. For instance, I got an email in from our buddy Ron in Raleigh a little bit ago. He said, just voted. I just got back from voting at the church. Oy. On my way back from my post-voting errands, I passed a house in the Brooklyn section of Glenwood Avenue, an older, established, close-in neighborhood. Out front, there were two large hand-painted signs in red, white, and blue. One said, the last day to save America, and the other said, stop Obama. Truly, Obama derangement syndrome should be considered a real disease. Oh, yeah, I heard it in line today. Some chuckling old blue-haired lady standing in line behind me said, well, somebody told me that the Obama voters was supposed to go over to the middle school and the Romney voters was supposed to come over here. Well, there ain't nobody over at the middle school. My ballot contained an actual instance of not election fraud or voter fraud, but ballot fraud. Qualifying to run in the presidential election in West Virginia was someone known to the to those who have spent long in the trenches of the struggle for women's reproductive and health care autonomy and rights. Randall Terry. Randall Terry was on the presidential ballot today in West Virginia. He was listed, and for anybody who cares to do any research, I'd find that I would be interested in knowing this. He was listed as coming from Pigsty, West Virginia, or Purgatory, West. I think what was it? No, really, Purgatsville or Purgatsty. Strange place. It's not even a community I've ever heard of, and I've heard of everything from Left Hand to Looneyville to War to Man to Glen Jean and Glen Daniel, but never any Pigsty or Purgatsville or Perditionville or whatever it was. Randall Terry don't live there. But he did commit an act of fraud, apparently, against the people of West Virginia by saying that he did, because it was listed on the official ballot as published by the Secretary of State's office of the state of West Virginia. And the Secretary of State is, of course, one of the constitutionally established offices in this state. He needs to be prosecuted if, in fact, he cannot be found to be living in Pigsty, West Virginia, or whatever that... Hang on. What's the name of this place? Won't take but a second. Oh, let's see. Maybe Ballotpedia has it? Let's run down here to W and find out. Let's see. Yeah, there it is. Randall Terry, Purgatsville, Purgitsville, WV, which is apparently in Hampshire County. You know, maybe somebody will do the work and tell him, no, Bobby really is. He's a proud West Virginian just like you. But I got a feeling he don't live here. And if he doesn't, like I said, it would be mighty nice if he would be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, so we could at least hear the have the pleasure of hearing, "Oh, you're doing it to me because I'm a follower of Jesus and I love the little fetuses." Right? Yeah. So I had that. Oh, hi. I'm Bob Kincaid. Yeah, I forgot that part. Ron and Raleigh asking, Titanic Tuesday. Bob, is that when the ship of state runs into the iceberg of Citizens United to screw up the country? Yeah, a little something like that. I'm sure many of you saw. I tweeted it and Facebooked it. Isaac put me onto it first via Twitter. It was pretty early in the day when the first news came in of dodgy ballots, or, well, not dodgy ballots, but, dodgy video game voting machines in Pennsylvania, complete with actual video of the electronic voting machine flipping a vote. You press Obama, it lights up Romney. You press Obama again, it lights up Romney again. And I was just talking with my colleague Rick Smith right before showtime, and he said a few other machines had been pulled offline as well. Brother. Ohio is just a disaster. It is the political equivalent of a natural disaster. And the for-profit media are right on top of it. Oh, well, Fred, we may not know the results in Ohio until November 17th, because that's when the provisional ballots can be unsealed. Lord, they wanted it so bad you could taste it. Speaking of tasting it, early on today, I was just checking around the out coverage, bouncing, you know, CNN, headline news, MSNBC. I found out that it was sometime around 10 a.m., just as I predicted, when Fox News had its first conniption over the new Black Panther Party intimidating voters. Kevin had written in late last night to say that he wanted 8:10 a.m. Well, sorry, Kevin. They weren't as much on the didn't have as much on the ball as you did. See, they needed to wait until at least 10, and I'll explain my thinking here. They needed to wait until at least 10 for the weirdo right-wingers on the West Coast to wake up. Just say it. But the for-profit media are all a titter and a twitter over the prospect of America having to go through that gut-bending horror that we lived through in 2000 as we watched the election slow in a slow-moving train wreck be stolen from the actual winner of the election, Al Gore, to be handed to George W. Bush. The for-profit media can't wait for that because, boy, oh boy, won't they be able to sell some ads. Chicken Noodle News sold some ads. Like I said, I was bebopping around trying to see who had what was most tolerable, and I got to the first break with Chicken Noodle News, and I saw, today's election coverage is brought to you by the American Clean Coal Energy Future Amalgamated Association of Dipshits and Morons. That's when the screaming started. But I'll tell you the truth, I saw it and I thought, well, we know where this coverage is going. But I stayed with it for a little bit, and in the next break, today's election coverage on CNN is brought to you by the American Petroleum Institute front group that isn't named the American Petroleum Institute, but we hope to continue poisoning you and making the planet uninhabitable by human beings, except for those of us who are going to live in the LogansRunBubble.com. Jesus, CNN is in the bag for these punks and thugs. You know, you'd think if you had any morals, if you had any scruples, any of them there journalistic ethics, you'd look at the head Herb Tarlick and say, you know what? I can't work here. I can't. When this is the primary advertiser in for your election coverage, there's no way that anybody who halfway understands the issues related to climate change and human health can possibly watch this coverage and not think that we are entirely compromised and corrupted. Nobody's really done that, though. So, you know, when it comes to CNN, you buys your ticket and you takes the ride. But weird is, in fact, busting out all over. I got a tweet from Sandra earlier today with that same question that she so often asks me. Bob, what's wrong with your peeps? Yeah, this was just a little too much. It has to do with some mega church in Dallas you remember a while back when that we were in the Republican primary season. And Pastor Robert Jeffress of the First Baptist Church of Dallas said that Bishop Willard Romney was a member of a cult and could in no wise call himself a Christian. Well, the pastor, Dr. Robert Jeffress, got on his knees and talked to the Lord, took it to the Lord in prayer. Yes, he did. And the Lord done give him an answer about how to deal with that cultist. Bishop Willard Romney. Now, Dr. Pastor Brother Robert Jeffress is, of course, from the leading Protestant cult in the United States, the Southern Baptist Convention. And on the eve of the electioning, he made sure to get a message out to the faithful. And brethren and sisters, here it is.
I want you to hear me tonight. I am not saying that President Obama is the Antichrist.
Oh, no, he's not saying that Obama's the Antichrist. I mean, nobody's seen his 666 tattoo, nor his cloven hooves, nor them little horns that he keeps conveniently tucked out of the way inside his Muslim skull. He's not saying he's the Antichrist nor nothing.
I'm not saying that at all. One reason I know he's not the Antichrist is the Antichrist is going to have much higher poll numbers when he comes, okay?
Ho, 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 that's a real knee slapper. You know what? That pastor brother, Dr. Robert Jeffress, he'll be going along real smooth and intellectually like. And all of a sudden, he'll slip in one of them little knee slappers and wake up the deacons in the front row who's just snoozing off. No, Obama ain't the Antichrist, because he ain't. Antichrist is going to be a whole lot more popular than Obama.
President Obama is not the Antichrist, nor...
Now, that's at odds with 27% of people in New Jersey who answered that they weren't sure that he isn't. But never mind. Let's go back to Pastor Brother Robert Dr. Jeffress.
Am I saying that President Obama is not a Christian? I would never make that claim. I cannot...
You know what, Pastor Brother Dr. Robert Jeffress? I'll make a claim. You, sir, are not a Christian. And I only say that because you're not. You are a Pharisee, sir. You pray loudly in the streets, and that fella you profess to serve and to worship said you've already got your reward, and there's truth in that, because you, Pastor Brother Dr. Robert Jeffress, have enough money to burn an entire herd of sopping wet elephants with sopping wet $100 bills. Not saying he beats his wife, right? Not saying he gets it on with farm animals or little boys. I'm not saying that.
Not look into his heart as he cannot look into my heart. Nor am I saying the president doesn't have some good ideas. Nor am I saying he doesn't deserve our respect and our prayers. But what I am...
Yeah, but you didn't say which prayers, Pastor Brother Dr. Robert Jeffress. Because your flock and ever so many millions of other racist, bigoted, homophobic, right-wing John Birch libertarian freakazoids have been praying that imprecatory prayer for 4 years now. Let his wife be without a husband, and let his children be without a father. And y'all been kind of proud about it, Pastor Brother Dr. Robert Jeffress. You really, really have.
What I'm saying is this. The course he is choosing to lead our nation is paving the way for the future reign of the Antichrist.
Well, shit! So he's not... Right, okay, so he's just a low-rent demon. Is that what we're to understand there? Pastor Brother Dr. Robert Jeffress, he's just a sort of pissant demon, not even worthy of the respect that a real demon would get. It wouldn't even take a real live, honest-to-goodness exorcism to get shed of him. Just a shoo, you get on out of here now. Right. He's taken us the way for the future reign of the Antichrist. Now, here in a minute, Pastor Brother Dr. Robert Jeffress is going to cite Revelations chapter 6. I just know it, because I know how these people are. No, I know it because I've got the transcript in front of me. I'm not going to bullshit you. As usual, I like to work from the King James Version because it's much more lovely version of the English language. You got to remember that at the time the King James Version was published, the Elizabethan English had already significantly transformed, but even that was, most of it came from the Tyndale Bible, which was rendered beautifully. It's gorgeous language, and that's why you stay with it. So let's go to Revelations chapter 6. It's not very long. That way we can be ready for it when Pastor Brother Dr. Robert starts. And this, I know, this isn't Prayer Meeting Wednesday, but them bastards started it. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. Since when does thunder sound like a seal? One of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." Four beasts? Okay, let's see. We got Barbara Bush, Ann Romney, Laura Bush. Who's the fourth beast? Oh, well. And I saw and behold a white horse. Son of a bitch, he missed it, didn't he? Who's got a white horse prophecy out there? I'm just saying, it's not the Southern Baptists. I mean, they're loopy as hell, but it's not the Southern Baptists. Southern Baptists don't have a white horse prophecy. Them folks that think that God, a God named Elohim, who had two boys named Lucifer and Jebus, they're the ones with a white horse prophecy. Okay, so what do we got here but a white horse? And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. Take peace from the earth. I seem to recall the Southern Baptist Convention endorsing back about 2003 some taking peace from the earth in the form of a nasty, nasty, nasty little unprovoked attack on a little country called Iraq that hadn't done squat to us. No, that couldn't possibly be George Bush. Well, I don't know. His neck's kind of red. Oh, let's see. The third sea lion, or I mean seal. Third beast said, "Come and see." They're kind of one-trick ponies, these beasts. That's all they do is walk around, "Come and see." It's like they're advertising Rock City or something. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. Oh, okay. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." Have I mentioned that John of Patmos, at the time that he was dictating this stuff, was hallucinating his brains out? "And yea, there verily thereupon did the walls begin to breathe, you know, and my skies were paisley." Then the fourth beast says, "Come and see," and that's a pale horse, and his name was Death, and hell followed with him, and that's Clint Eastwood, I think. Then there's a fifth walrus, and they cried with loud, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And everybody got white robes. Wait a minute, who wears white raiment in their temple ceremonies? Darn, I had it right there. Oh, yeah, the Mormons. And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season. You know, a little salt, maybe a little pepper. I don't know. I'm not so crazy about the rosemary. Until their fellow servants and also their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Oh, there's some killing and murdering going on here. That's why it's such a holy book. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Yum, yum. Okie dokie. Stars of heaven fell into the earth. No, I'm not gonna play Stars Fell on Alabama for you. Heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Well, we do have that going on, at least here in Appalachia. At least the mountains part. Kings of the earth, great men, rich men, chief captains, mighty men, every bond man, every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. But I thought the mountains done got moved out of their places. See, that's the trouble with what happens when you take the brown acid. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us. Really? And hide us. You know, I think if the mountains fall on you and hide you, you're pretty much toast. And hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Can you still hear the Lamb's cleddies? For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Amen and amen, worlds without end. Okay, so we know that that's where he's going. That's where Pastor Brother Dr. Robert's going. And we know that Barack Obama is paving the way for the Antichrist. You know what? They hate him so much, he doesn't even rate Antichrist. Fit to swell a scene or two. Isn't that what T.S. Eliot says in the love song of J. Alfred Prufrock?
You see, when Antichrist comes, he is not going to be able to suddenly seize power and suddenly make these radical changes.
Okay. Is there an assertion here that someone has suddenly seized power and suddenly made radical changes? Because, you know, granted, Barack Obama ran for the presidency in 2008 on a slogan of change and change you can believe in, but The blessed holy apostles of the Republican Party have been there all along to make sure that there wasn't no changing got happened. Otherwise, we might have the Employee Free Choice Act by now. Otherwise, maybe Guantanamo would be closed. Otherwise, the Republican Congress would never have sent a National Defense Authorization Act, which has only happened dozens of freaking times since the end of the Second World War. That contained noxious provisions for an elimination of, basically the Fourth Amendment, to the president's desk, so that he had to sign it, or if he vetoed it, you know, the troops wouldn't get paid. Oh, that was a special one, because that got all the progressives' panties in a bunch. And they said, well, the NDAA, goddammit, I'm not gonna vote for these, the same as Bush! Yeah. You know what you guys want? You guys want to see a bunch of pissed off soldiers come home who haven't been paid and still have bullets. You guys are going to love that. I mean, history's just chock-a-block with stories of armies that come home and haven't been paid and don't have anywhere to go. And, well, they tend to take it out on people rather indiscriminately. But anyway, let's go back to Pastor Brother Dr. Robert.
He's not going to be able to suddenly restrict speech and religious worship and commerce. Why, to do that suddenly would cause a revolution that would topple his reign on the earth. And yet, Revelation 6 says, when Antichrist comes.
Now, wait a minute. I just read you Revelation 6, so let's see if Pastor Dr. Roberts even being remotely honest, okay? Now, think of this as a bit of an experiment.
He will take over power automatically. Revelation 6 says he'll ride a horse that has a bow with no arrow on it.
Oh, wait. bow with no arrow. Now, we're working from the King James Version, the official version of the Bible authorized and preferred by the Southern Baptist Convention cult. And it says, I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Ain't nothing there about not having the damned arrows. He had a bow. Back about 2,000 years ago, if you had a bow, you took the arrows as read. So, Pastor Brother Dr. Robert Jeffress has just told his first lie. He had a bow. Now, unless we are to understand that that bow is in his pretty hair, that's a bow that comes with arrows. But the truth is never something that's been prone to get in the way of Pastor Brother Dr. Robert Jeffress or any other minister of the gospel. So let's continue.
His overtaking the world will be effortlessly. It will be without any effort at all. How does that happen?
Okay, effortlessly. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And boom, verse 3, second seal. Second base, right? There's nothing about effortlessly. It just says he went forth conquering and to conquer. There's nothing in there about him doing it without no bow. Or without no arrows. It ain't there.
The only way that's going to happen is if there is a gradual erosion of God's laws and our personal freedoms over a long period of time.
No, that's not it. That's not the only way. How's about if the man on the white horse comes from a religion that says there's a white horse prophecy that says that the man's got to come and save us from ourselves when the Constitution hangs by a thread, Pastor Dr. Brother Robert? You know, he's been a lunatic all along, but I think I would have had more respect for him had he at least stuck to his guns, so to speak. But no, the truth ain't in him, because he is, after all, a preacher. My merciful... Well, let's finish up with Pastor Brother Dr. Robert here. I realize putting up with this much lying is a bit of a chore, but we'll be all right.
And it will be that gradual erosion of our sense of morality, our adherence to God's laws, that gradual erosion of our personal freedoms.
Now, wait a minute. There's the gradual erosion of our adherence to God's law, and then there's the gradual erosion of our personal freedoms. And Pastor Brother Dr. Robert doesn't tell his simple-minded drooling on the hymnal's flock that the two are often incompatible. Because there's lots of laws back there that's been eroding for a while now. I mean, I don't know if the Puritans, when they landed on the shores of Massachusetts, I don't know if they ate lobster and shrimp, but I'm guessing they did, because they's on the verge of starving. And lobster can be kindly tasty. Well, that's one of them erosions of God's laws. Because it says don't do it. And it doesn't say don't do it unless you're hungry. It says don't do it. Just like it doesn't say don't eat pork unless you're driving by Jug Factory Road off of McFarland Boulevard in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and the home office of Dreamland ain't but about 300 yards away. Don't do it. It says don't do it. It says don't wear clothing made of cloth that is of mixed fibers, you know, like Dacron, polyester, and cotton blends. And you put on one of those and you can feel the tongues of flame coming right up at you out of hell. So, considering the when the invention of rayon took place, or nylon or whatever, that law of God's been eroding since before Barack Obama was even born. And of course, you can always weave some flax in with your hemp fibers. You can weave some wool in with your cotton, or all kinds of stuff that doesn't even require petrochemicals. So that means that law's probably been eroding for about 2,000, maybe 2,500, possibly 3,000 years of erosion there. That's a lot of erosion. And the loss of our personal freedom. Now, see, that is right-wing cult code from Pastor Brother Dr. Robert when he says the loss of our personal freedoms. What he means is our freedom to hate on the queers. And tell them that they's a going to hell. But the odd thing is about the Southern Baptist Church, if they believe in something called once saved, always saved. So once you've been dunked, you're on your way to heaven, Buster. Because after that, anything you do, Jesus will forgive you. Forgive me, Jesus, for last Saturday night. I had a man in my mouth. You know, that kind of thing. Forgiven! Forgive me, Lord Jesus, for last Wednesday I was a scissoring. Forgiven! He's got doctrinal problems, Pastor Brother Dr. Robert does, and he has them because he couldn't stick to the fundamental hate of his own dogma and had to go out and twist himself into some sort of contorted, sick, psychotic pretzel trying to figure out a way to argue folks into voting. And he's in Texas, for God's sakes. He could have kept his mouth shut and it would have been just as easy. Into voting for, you know, Willard White Horse Romney.
That will make it relatively easy for Antichrist to take over without any opposition whatsoever. And that's why, ladies and gentlemen, I believe it is time for Christians to stand up and to push back against this evil that is overtaking our nation.
Now, let's see. If we go back to Pastor Brother Dr. Robert Jeffress, he says Obama's not the Antichrist. I'm not saying that. He says, nor am I saying that President Obama is not a Christian. Nor am I saying that the President doesn't have some good ideas, nor am I saying that he doesn't deserve our respect and our prayers. On the other hand, just seconds ago, if you were listening, well, what did he say?
Any opposition whatsoever. And that's why, ladies and gentlemen, I believe it is time for Christians to stand up and to push back against this evil that is overtaking our nation.
In other words, he just called Barack Obama this evil that has overtaken our nation. You know, if there really was a great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky, whenever he gave a sermon, Pastor Brother Dr. Robert Jeffress would be moonwalking better than Michael Jackson, just trying to get away from the damn lightning bolts.
Oh, I missed. Missed. Missed it by that much!
To stand up and push back against the actions that are paving the way for the final world dictator.
You know, actions like trying to make it a little more likely that working poor people can go to the doctor when they're sick. That's Antichrist behavior, that is, right there, right there. Oh, that's a sickening slippery slope to hell. Letting folks who love each other actually get married and take advantage of the laws that are promised to be their protectors under the Constitution of the United States. Oh, that's paving the way for Antichrist.
And the best way to push back against us...
Wait. I just realized something. Aw, come on. I cannot believe it. Yeah, guess I don't have it. I was thinking all of that would have been accompanied real good by, say, tubular bells.
Unrighteousness is at the ballot box. And this coming Tuesday, we have a decision. The decision is not between Republicans and Democrats. The choice before us is the choice of righteousness or unrighteousness. I want you to hear me tonight.
Yeah, I think we've heard enough there, Pastor Brother Dr. Robert, and your little lecture on horses and with bows on them. You know, kind of like the bow that was in the Cowardly Lion's hair there after they got their makeovers in Oz. Yeah. Heard from Dr. John earlier today. He said, since I registered right at the end of the open period, I checked on North Carolina, because Dr. John just moved to North Carolina doing some teaching there. He said, I checked on North Carolina's Board of Elections website this weekend, found I was set and located my polling place. It was a 45-minute walk away from my bus stop, but that's another story. Subject line of this email, by the way, is cast my provisional ballot this morning. Remember, Dr. John said, I registered at the end of the open period. He registered properly. When I arrived, I was told, you're not in this precinct. Actually, no. You're not in this precinct. I said I was, which is how I knew to show up here. The boss lady comes by, asks if I have ID that shows residence, and I show her my driver's license. She looks at the computer and says, oh, we see here your verification letter was returned undeliverable. Verification letter? Really? Verification letter. How many other thousands of people you reckon didn't get their verification letter in North Carolina? How dare any Republican ever utter the word democracy, again with that big juvenile delinquent with the beard and the long white hair up in the sky just going, how dare a Republican ever utter the word democracy when verification letters go out after you have done gone and showed up and showed all your necessary information to register to vote? John continues, she explains they sent a verification letter to my address, but it was returned. As an aside, says John, I never received any such thing. She looks again and says, it's North Carolina. But, oh, this verification didn't include your apartment number. That's probably why it was returned. Yeah, sure. So I filled out a provisional ballot with a pen and bubble circles and everything. I was given a number to call in 10 days to find out if my vote was counted, and if not, why not? This will apparently be decided at a county board of election meeting that I am in no uncertain terms not invited to attend. So a couple of things, says Dr. John. First, as far as I can tell, I was only allowed to cast this ballot because this one woman took an extra minute to look at the records and then decided to give me one. If it were anyone else, who knows? I'm not an idiot, but I'd never have thought to ask them to check the address. And I'm somewhat angry, somewhat, Dr. John, really, just somewhat, that they felt the need to verify my residence in a very non-transparent way. Second, I looked at the polls this morning. North Carolina is tied, 48-48. What'll happen if the margin is, say, a dozen votes? It's probably unlikely the election will come down to North Carolina, but if it does, and it's close, I'm going to bird dog my Board of Elections, the newspaper, and TV stations, and damned well raise a stink if my ballot is rejected. As well you should, Dr. John. As well you should. And we gotta all be prepared to raise that stink. Because if the Repig-Lickin' Party had their way, the only folks that would be voting would be white folks that they trust, plus Mia Love and Alan West and 99 or 9 guy, what the Herb Cain, remember? Yeah. Sarah Palin, whom Charlie Pierce calls Princess Dumbass of the Northwoods, you know, from Snowgrift Mountain. Jesus, that guy's a genius. That's the sum and total of black folks they want voting. Well, y'all's mind just works in mysterious ways. Going back to Pastor Brother Dr. Robert Jeffress, Jack in Shreveport said, "Well, crap. With a bow but not arrows, I might think that's a boner with no viable sperm, and the conquering could very well refer to what he's wanting to be done to women." Yeah, well, see, they're not aware that Dr. Freud watches all. Irish Dave noting, of course the Grand Canyon is not the Antichrist. He's blah, you know. Only them blah people. Ron and Raleigh, well, Bob, I guess we'll have to take Jethro Bodine's advice and exercise that rascal. Oh, that's right. Oh, the fourth beast. Ron and Raleigh reminds me, the fourth beast is Lynn Cheney. Dr. John asking, and the answer is no, I haven't. Have you seen the Vote White hashtag? Here's a particular gem from Sarah. Obama is going to have an early lead until 5 o'clock when all the Romney supporters get off work. Hashtag Vote White. Vote White. It's where we are. Welcome to 2012. Welcome to the second decade of the 21st century. You know, when we ought to be working on them starships. Well, I guess some of us are. Bishop Romney, maybe. I don't want to go to any of the strange new worlds and discover new civilizations that he's going on the trip for. Coming from OCWeekly.com. Title, there is a Vote White hashtag on Twitter, and it's just as sickening as you'd expect. As intense and nerve-wracking as it is, Michelle Wu writes, Election Day always brings a sense of civic spirit with folks Instagramming their I Voted stickers and dressing their poor pets in red, white, and blue sweaters. Democracy, yeah! But then you stumble upon crap shit like this and once again start questioning the value of free speech. Here are 10 tweets, Michelle Wu writes, urging people to vote white. She concludes, classy America. America, we went black, now it's time to go back, vote white. Don't forget when you go to vote blacks, it was a Republican who freed you from slavery, vote white. Okay, I realize there is something worse than AIDS, having a black president for another 4 years, vote white, vote right, vote Romney. Let's put the white back in the White House, vote white. Okay, monkeys, time to hand the keys back to your owners, vote white. Obama's going to have an early lead until 5 o'clock when all the Romney supporters get off work, vote white. That's not Princess Dumbass of the Northwoods. That's some other Sarah. Dylan tweeted, don't forget to vote today and don't pick one because you think he's cool. Actually study the facts and make an educated vote. Vote White. Jim says, when in doubt, not our Jim. Jim says, when in doubt, vote White. Then there's this expression of American egalitarianism from one twit named Johnny Bravo. Vote White or don't vote at all, you jigaboo lovers. If you vote for Obama, says Kayla, you have to have some mental disability. There's no need for a renig. Renig. Vote White. Andy, I can't read that one. That'll get the humorless guys with the skinny ties in here. Jack writing in, he says, I may not have caught all of what you said, but it sounded like the Randall Terrytown was P-U-R something. In other words, something that sounded like purgatory, so possibly a religious town in that name. My sensors went off a little bit, but I can get too paranoid sometimes. What do you think? P.S. Herb Tarlick, catchphrase. There's only one golf pro shop in the country that sells that suit. Purgitsville, Jack. P-U-R-G-I-T-S-V-I-L-L-E. Said to be in, I believe, Hampshire County. Purgitsville. Clayton, the militant sociologist, writing in, my granddaughter's fifth grade class had a presidential vote today. Who won? Ask me. Who won? You don't know. I'm so proud. She says, Papa, we're going to whip Mitt Romney so bad. We're going to start discussing Emma Goldman very soon, says Clayton. Just goes to show you our crappy educational system. She hasn't heard of Karl Marx. We're going to work on this little problem. Maybe she needs to go to the head-on Baptist homeschool. Yeah, sounds good to me. I didn't even know we had one of those. Dr. John does follow up saying, in the environs of Wilmington, North Carolina, no big reports of problems at the polls, smooth sailing and short lines, according to the paper. In the three-county area, early turnout is reported to be up big time over 2008. Statewide, 2.7 million cast early ballots, and they are breaking Democratic 47% to 38%. I'm not sure if the rest is third party or haven't been looked at yet. In 2008, about 4.4 million votes were cast in the state of North Carolina. Could be high turnout, which one would think favors Obama. It's going to be an interesting evening, I think. Andy does say to Dr. John, you were just disenfranchised by these fascist pigs, and there's nothing you can do about it. Again, John, your vote will not count. The Repiglic and fascists just won the battle. It's too late now. Gone. Forbye. You should have checked in advance or voted early to make sure your franchise was protected. Some of us like to vote on election day. I'm one of them. You'll just have to look up scissoring on the Urban Dictionary, Jim. Ron noting, Bob, and Ron is the official determiner of me misunderstanding or mischaracterizing our fine, upstanding, God-fearing Christian fundamentalist brethren. Bob, says Ron Raleigh, once again, you have taken our Christian brothers out of context. He, being a dumbass, assumed that for some reason someone would carry a bow with no arrows. P.S. Could one assume that if Barack Hussein Obama is not the Antichrist, then the Antichrist is going to be a white guy? Yeah, there's that. You know, they got to save the they got to save the Antichrist, because you got to always have him back there to whip that. You know, he draws that Antichrist like a gun, right? Dr. John with a message for Clayton. Clayton, the militant sociologist. Time to talk to the granddaughter about Emma Goldman and Marx. Clayton ought to consider starting a homeschool curriculum. Let's occupy homeschooling. Ooh! Ooh! That's a real life, sure enough idea. Occupy homeschooling. Yeah, because after all, there's plenty of homeschool textbooks out there that talk about how Adam and Eve rode to church on the back of their, well, you know, dinosaurs.
And on the third day, God created the Remington bolt-action rifle so that man could fight the dinosaurs and the homosexuals.
Amen.
Yeah, you get the idea. So, and by the way, just a little update here. I still intend to follow through on my promise of last night. There will be continuing live coverage of election 2012 starting at midnight Eastern Time. And it'll be a late night free for all, such as has not happened here in quite some time. The last one may have been in November of 2008. Our buddy Michael was here shooting what he called the 12-hour video dump. Oh, that was a hell of a night. John Fox may be chiming in. I sent an invite out to our old friend and colleague, Guy James, but I didn't hear back. So, really, the lines are going to be wide open all night long. And the number is 304-658-3333. If you want to get in on Skype, that number, or that handle, or that connection, is Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn. And we'll just keep the conversation going as long as you want to. We'll take a little break for right now and then come back and start the phone-in portion of the program. Light them up! What the hell else are you going to do? I'm ready for when the results start rolling in. I've got a bottle of rot gut and a bottle of champagne. For the rot gut, I've also got a straw. Here's hoping I can just pour the rot gut down the drain later. Right? And by the way, if for some reason or another you're listening on some sort of mobile device via Stitcher or TuneIn or any of the other platforms, if you're in line to vote, stay in line. They cannot turn you away once you are in line. Stay in line. Now, that is without commentary on whether or not it ought to, in the second decade of the 21st century, whether it ought to take 6 hours to vote. If it takes 6 hours to vote, odds are somebody out there means for it to take 6 hours to vote in the hopes that you, and you know who you are, won't. Right? Yeah. The Horn is listener supported. We've already had a kind contribution for the evening. I had a note from our buddy Scott in Sweden. He's getting ready to wing his way back to America. because he's had a loss in his family, and our hearts go out to him and for him. He provided his kick-in on the Beat the Swede Challenge earlier today. So thank you, Scott. Thanks to you all who keep all of this going, because it is the only way that it keeps going. Because this is, after all, listener-supported conversation radio. With the emphasis on conversation. This is, in fact, the Head On Radio Network. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. The Horn. And I'm Bob Kincaid.
Preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're Head On with Bob Kincaid.
of tonight's special election coverage. It's the same show. Feels silly doing that. Special election coverage continues. You know, special election coverage will actually happen at midnight Eastern time, 9 Pacific. That will be special because, you know, we don't do it all the time. But it is election night in America. And all this for-profit media talking, oh, we may not know what happens in Ohio until November the 17th. At least we hope not. My God, we hope not. And yet, countries all over the world manage to have elections with a hell of a lot more people in their countries than we've got. And they got the results the next morning because they count paper ballots. Jesus. Just got a tweet in from Sandra. She said, damn, Romney wins Kentucky. I thought for sure, dot, dot, dot. And that's my fault because I had a note in from our buddy Corey in the Free State of Louisville the other day. He said, there are 120 counties in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. I'm betting four will go Obama. Jefferson, Fayette, Elliott, which surprisingly went Obama last time despite being in Appalachia, and a county in northern Kentucky or around the Louisville area. This is sad when the people will vote for the man who will say anything despite saying the complete opposite a nanosecond ago, and not for the one who partially has their best interest in mind. Corey closes saying, may the great noodly one have mercy on us, for surely we won't have mercy on our neighbors who are in the same or worse shape as we are. Be easy, says Corey, and have that defense man up for a series or two. That's a reference to the Mountaineers who couldn't play defense against the old ladies' junior college for the blind and lame. That's not a blind joke. That's a bad Mountaineer defense joke. I'm just saying. Jim has been to Urban Dictionary now and has looked up scissoring. Yep, scissoring. Oops, says Jim. Never done that. Thanks. I said light him up about the phone lines, Ray. You people. So, enough already. Let's start the conversation, for heaven's sakes. Onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, what's up?
Not a lot. I thought it warranted a check-in today on this fine November day. Although, I gotta say, I tuned into your program and thought for a second I'd overslept.
No, yeah, because it did have a sort of a prayer meeting Wednesday feel to it. But
a little bit, yeah.
What are you supposed to do when the Sunday before the election, the preachers are out there hollering, well, I'm not saying he's the Antichrist, but I mean, you know.
Well, did you happen to see the, sorry to take it on this kind of a down note here, but did you see that thing that Marcos over at Daily Coast put up about how he was poll working or somebody from his organization was poll working and they ran into that elderly lady who tore up her ballot because of what her pastor said?
No.
Yeah, apparently they basically said at the pulpit, her pastor said, you know, you can't be part of our church and vote for Obama because he is pro-abortion. And he wrote this big long thing about how, you know, he had to sit there and console her and everything because she just didn't know what to do.
But she sure knew once he was done, right?
Well, and by that point in time, apparently it was too late. It had something to do with the way they register or something. She couldn't vote because of what she tore up.
God almighty. Maybe that was her verification letter or something.
I've never even heard of that before. I was sitting here, I was like, what the hell is a verification letter?
Well, a verification letter is what they send around if you're a new registrant to make sure that you don't vote.
Well, I don't know. I just recently moved here in Michigan, and the only thing I got was a note saying, here's your voter registration card, here's your precinct, have a nice day.
Yeah, but see, Vince, that's the thing. You're in Michigan.
True.
And there's, I mean, granted, there's some weirdos up there and everything. You probably know that more than I by now.
Well, the whole Romney.
But it ain't below the Mason-Dixie line.
Dude, believe me, I know that all too well. For the first time in my life, my vote actually went. I actually had a chance of electing the people I voted for. Before, my representatives were Kingston, and I lived in Florida for a time. That idiot Rick Scott is now. Now, say what you want about Snyder. I've actually got some good things to say about him, but my representatives are Conyers and Kavanaugh.
That's got to feel so good. Hey, you need to drop a note to John Conyers, by the way, if you don't mind, Vince, and just thank him for being a co-sponsor of the AIC Act.
Oh, I already did, believe it or not.
I'm not at all surprised. We're a polite and mannerly bunch here, I think. And come the new Congress, we're going to have to get the ball rolling on getting everybody re-upped and re-sponsored, and then it's really going to get busy.
Yeah, hopefully the makeup of the Congress changes enough that we don't just end up deadlocked again. That's the only thing I'm really
don't think it's a reason to hit the rot gut or anything, but if you're planning on having the House of Representatives in Democratic hands tomorrow morning, I'd make other plans.
No, I'm not planning on that. If we could hold the status quo, I'd be all right with that.
Well, if we could knock them down by 10 or 15 seats, and then in the midterms, whack them good, maybe. But some of this is strategic. I joke, Vince, about wanting to ask questions of voters in places like Minnesota and Iowa who keep sending us Michelle Bachmann and Steve King. But you know what? I also want to ask the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, can't you find anybody viable to run in those districts and really just throw a whole bunch of money behind them and just get rid of those punks?
Seriously. Although part of me also sometimes wonders, the political cynical part of me, wonders if that's not part of the grand scheme. You know, they're not really causing too much damage, and they're crazy enough we can call them out as deceived. This is why you need to vote for us in these other districts.
Great minds, because that thought has not been lost on me as well.
You know, keeping them out for the crazy, at the very least they're entertaining sometimes.
Yeah, like referring to immigrants as wanting the pick of the litter as if they were dogs.
Seriously.
Steve King is.
I couldn't believe those last set of, you know, between the legitimate rape and, what was the other one? Legitimate rape and forcible rape. Yes, that one.
Yeah. There's that congressman who says that some girls rape easy.
Yeah, I just... people like that, I don't understand how their brains work. I mean, I guess I'm glad for that fact. But I don't know, dude. I was going somewhere else with this thought a second ago and got momentarily derailed here.
I do that to people. I'm so sorry.
No, that's all right. I don't know. The thought's gone. Maybe I'll call in later.
Well, that'll be fine. There should be plenty of time for that between now and what we do after midnight.
But I don't know, man. I mean, it scares me the race got this close. I mean, especially with that freaking situation with Sandy and whatnot, you know, you've got the guy out there who said, hey, we need to get rid of FEMA. This should have been like a no-brainer, and yet the race is close. That boggles my mind.
Yeah, that's... is there a real argument for that, or is that just, because I can't find one if there is.
Oh, well, I got to tell you a quick story here real quick, if I may derail your line of thought here for just a moment.
Go right ahead.
As you can imagine, there are, you know, many political conversations, especially, you know, insofar as I'm in a union shop. Thank God, Michigan. By the way, if anybody is in Michigan who has not voted yet, please yes on to. It is a constitutional amendment for the state constitution that will basically enshrine the ability to collective bargain in the state. Just going to go out there and say that. But I'm sitting here talking to a buddy of mine at work who's kind of right-leaning, and I was sitting here talking about how politics in the U.S. as a whole has been moving more and more to the right in the last 20, 30 years that I've been paying attention to it. I say 30 years, I've only been alive for 30 of them, but you get my point.
Well, yeah.
And, you know, I said, you know, the Republican Party is in control of the Tea Partiers, which are insanely more right-wing. The moderates have lost control of the Republican Party. And the Democrats, in an attempt to stay relevant, have largely, over the course of the last two decades, been shifting to the right. And the dude looked at me like I'd grown a second head and just said, well, I can't agree to, we'll just have to agree to disagree on that. And I didn't have time to push the point because I had to go clock in. But we got to lunchtime later on that day, and I said, you know, I thought a little bit about what you said, and I just want to throw this scenario at you in terms of to prove my point. He goes, uh-huh. And I said, Ronald Reagan. He goes, yeah. And I said, pretty much recognized today as the, you know, the shining light of the GOP, what every GOP candidate aspires to be. He says, yeah. I said, okay. Take Ronald Reagan and rename him Joe Bluesworth. Just pick a name. It doesn't matter. Wipe out the name recognition. Wipe out the everything you know about the man other than what he voted for and the positions that he supported while he was a candidate and while he was president. And tell me, would the GOP in any way, shape, or form nominate him to anything today? And all of a sudden he's like, I don't want to talk about politics.
Because the answer is?
No! Ding, 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 ding! You won the toaster! Except you didn't. You are a bunch of idiots for party members. Here's something I can't figure out. There's a guy at my work who's one of my supervisors, not one of my direct supervisors, but he's one of the supervisors at my job. Dude, he could show up to work dressed in, you know, the colors of the rainbow, and nobody would think it unusual. He's like, he's throwing it out there. He bats for his own team, if you get what I'm saying.
Sure. And nobody's having a hissy.
Well, no, he's voting for Romney. He's a straight Republican ticket guy.
Ow.
No one can figure that out. And no one dare ask him either because they're all afraid of the whole, you know, discrimination thing. Nobody will talk about that. But, I mean, that's the question everybody talks about. But, you know, the disconnect with these guys. You got people like that supervisor of mine, but then, you know, you also have people who are talking about how, you know, the whole traditional marriage crowd and everything. And I was sitting here listening to another one of my coworkers a couple of weeks ago talking about how, well, the federal government's turning around and they're trying to redefine marriage. I looked at him and I said, really, did you pay two goats and a quart of milk for your wife? And he looked at me like I was crazy, and I said, well, if your answer is no, we've already redefined it.
Several times. Time after time. In fact, we had to redefine marriage so that, if the worst should possibly come to pass, we had to redefine things so that a potential President Bishop Willard Romney wouldn't be bringing his 19 sister wives to the White House. The entire state of Utah was predicated on a redefinition of marriage.
Not that I care about that sort of thing. If all parties are involved are all right with that and that's your thing, you know what? I don't care. It means not one whit to me.
Right. You know, I mean, you look at a Mormon and he says, I got two wives and it's mighty big of me. Tough crowd.
Give me a second. Sorry. That was bad, dude. You're worse at puns than that friend of mine I told you.
Oh, that's just one that's back there for within easy reach for any time. Right, yeah.
Too easy. Anyway, so I'm sitting here and I'm just watching the returns come in. I can't believe the race is as close as it is. You know, it pretty much shatters my illusion that this country is, you know, in any way, shape, or form.
Well, CNN has just declared that Indiana stands, I'm sorry, Talibandiana, their 11 votes will go to Bishop Willard.
Okay, that's not too surprising.
As will the Commonwealth of Kentucky stand.
Again, not too surprising. I'm still interested in where Ohio's going to go. The last poll that I saw, granted it was Huffington Post, was saying that it was leaning Obama based on, I think, exit polling or something they were doing.
But the thing that at least, Vince, as I understand it, the plan is to declare that we don't get to know what happened in Ohio until November the 17th, so that hopefully, but there's a flaw in that, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe the evening will prove me wrong. There's a flaw in that, and that is the only way you don't know if, about, the only way that Ohio makes a difference is for Republicans. A Republican cannot win the presidency without winning Ohio. On the other hand, a Democrat can win Ohio and win the presidency, but it is not the sine qua non.
Right, they don't necessarily have to do it.
Right, but a Republican must. And that's why all these shenanigans have been going on for years now, trying to make sure that whatever else happens, the Ohio vote is a train wreck. And it is. I mean, you've got people, come on. I know for a fact you fool around, you interface with computers from time to time, right?
Pretty much my job description, yeah.
Yeah, so anytime you're trying to delete something, that little box, and if it's really important, the little box comes up once, and it says, are you really sure you want to delete this?
Right.
And you go, yes. And another box comes up and says, no, really, if you click this button, it's going to delete. And you go, oh, yeah. Well, consider what happened with the voter rolls in Ohio.
I got one even better for you, Bob.
Yeah?
This didn't happen in Ohio. This actually happened in Pennsylvania. I don't know if any of the major news organizations have picked up on it. Are you familiar with a site called Reddit?
Oh, absolutely.
If you were hanging out in the political section, you might have noticed that there was a trending article today that pretty much went straight to the front page and sat there.
Oh,
right
the video? The video of the vote flipping?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude presses Obama, it clicks Romney, he clears it, presses Obama again, it clicks Romney.
Yep.
And then goes on to describe the fact that he thought maybe it was just miscalibrated, so he went down thinking, okay, because Jill Stein was next under Obama. We went Romney, Obama,
right.
Jill Stein. So he thought, okay, I'll click Jill Stein. Well, that stayed on Jill Stein.
Yep. And it was just the one machine, supposedly.
Right, but I did check in with Rick Smith, who told me that five or six others had been pulled in the interim for similar shenanigans, if I understood correctly.
Now, like you said, it's amazing that in supposedly the bastion of democracy, we can't seem to get it right, but there are places that up until too long ago were under communist control and can pull off elections without a hitch.
Go figure.
Go figure. I know you got other lights blinking, Bob. If I can think of anything else, I'll call in a little later on.
Hey, you know what? You're always welcome, Vince. It's good to hear from you, my friend.
Good to talk to you, Bob. Say hi to everyone for me.
I sure will. I think you just did.
Hi, everybody.
See how it works? Later, Vince. And onward we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Butch.
Hey, what do you... Butch. What do you know, Jim?
Whoops. Whoops when I looked up that term.
Yeah. Well, okay, so there's several in there that you don't want to look up.
That's okay.
I won't name any of them.
That's all right. I probably got the whole lexicon right above my bed, but nonetheless, when somebody said too easy, hell, that's what they used to call me in my younger days. And whoops. So you realize that your trick announces upon departure that he's been exposed to hepatitis. So there you go. That's whoops.
Whoops.
Well, it looks like that, Indiana Stan went for the bishop, and so did Kentucky, and they're going to call Virginia pretty soon, too, I think.
But there's still people in line in Virginia. I just saw that come across. No, there are lines. Because, among other things, you have to remember that the Old Dominion does not have early voting. The only thing they've gotten in Virginia is early absentee voting, in which case you have to give a damn good reason why you're not going to be in the Commonwealth.
Yeah, that's right.
On Election Day.
I think I heard on MSNBC a couple of days ago that Fauquier County, which is really the horse country of Virginia, that's the center of it, is basically the barometer as to which way the state will go, which I thought was pretty interesting.
Well, that is. Then again,
because, you know, having sort of a horse background myself, I'm quite familiar with Fauquier County, being from Camden, South Carolina.
Whereabouts is that?
It's about, around about.
South of Richmond, east of Richmond, west of Richmond?
Yeah, I think it's about, let me think, Bob, my God in heaven, I haven't been out there so long. It's fairly close. I'll put it that way. I think maybe, I can't call the direction. I'm sure somebody will correct me, and I'm not going to say something wrong, but somebody's going to call in and correct, but that's, it's fairly close.
Wow. Okay.
But it is horse country, and it's, basically where a lot of, you know, the genteel gentry of, Virginia, locate. And here is Rufus. He's just crying.
Oh, I heard him. Is he distraught?
Yeah, he's distraught. And thank you for your friend comment about the chimes of my clock. If you hear any chimes tonight, they're going to be coming out of my head. Yeah.
Yeah, just strap in for the ride, Jim.
Well, he's settled on top of me now, so I can't move anywhere unless I get a crane.
Yeah, because he's a big one, right?
29 pounds.
That's a big one.
How do you think this thing is going to come out, Bob?
How do you begin to answer? I'm not trying to weasel or anything out of this, Jim. But how do you answer that? Because you have to lay down about 9 miles of caveats before you get to the serious the guts of the question. Because you have to say things like, well, all things being equal, and if they weren't trying to steal the vote, and if they hadn't dummied up Ohio, and if Rick Scott hadn't made Florida a total freaking mess, then, you know, I think then we'd be saying, yeah, you know, he's gonna get reelected. But, you know, you lived through the 2000 election and the 2004, and so did I.
Oh, yeah, what a horror show.
And we know that those two elections were flat out stolen.
Yes, I do. I remember quite well.
And they seem to have perfected, or not perfected it, but they some of what they did in 2000 and 2004 now appears to have been rather Bush League, no pun intended, rather amateurish. Because they've really doubled down and gone pro on this, especially in Ohio.
Well, they've had 8 years to hone their methods of doing everything.
I mean, really? They lost the voter database? I mean,
the dog ate my homework.
Right. I mean, that's the franchise equivalent of the dog ate my homework.
I know. Like I told you before, sometimes with you the situation is serious but not hopeless. But with me, it's hopeless but not serious. And that's the only way I can, you know, in this stage of my life, that I can just basically handle just about any damn thing, you know?
Yeah. But you wish you didn't have to. I mean, in a country that calls itself, that alludes to having been founded on democratic values, the fact that we can't seem to get an election right.
Oh, I know, Bob.
I mean, and there's reason to believe that even 2008 was not right.
Yeah, I know. You know, buddy, I've gotten to the point where if I were standing on the decks of Titanic and I was offered a place in the lifeboat, I would say, ma'am, after you. And even if there were only one slot left.
Oh, there's the chimes.
There goes my head. Yeah, you know, it's just...
Well, so I must simply ask, do you have a cocktail of choice this evening, Jim?
Yeah, I'm having a scotch and water, and if things go the way I would like them to go, I have a nice big bottle of Benedictine brandy, thanks to those good monks who knew how to do what they were doing.
Oh, they did it well.
They certainly did, absolutely. Oh, by the way, you mentioned some idiot named Johnny Bravo.
Yeah.
Well, he's one of Big Daddy's frequent callers.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, that's taken from the cartoon character name. So I'm not surprised there's a bunch of them. But my God, vote white, Jim, really? In the second decade of the 21st century? Wasn't this crowd supposed to have died off by now?
Afraid not. I'm afraid the Grim Reaper missed that generation.
Don't renege on November 26th. Haul, haul, haul.
No. That's just horrible. And, you know, the story that was told about that lady who,
tore up her ballot?
Yeah. My first question is, why in the hell was that man there in the first place? Was he there handing out leaflets or proselytizing or checking up on his congregation to be sure they all voted for...
Well, yeah, obviously we don't know the particulars. But here's the thing that just gives me the fan tods.
I love that word.
I do too. It's more evocative than the vapors, you know. This is a nation of some 330 to 350 millions of human beings.
Right.
If it has happened to one such lady.
Oh, it's probably happened all over.
It is almost a statistical certainty that it has happened to many more.
Oh, I'm certain of that. Absolutely. I don't know. It's going to be a long night.
They've called our state. They've called almost level West Virginia for Willard.
Well, did you
any surprises? No, not really.
No, I mean, you know, that's just almost a joke, and basically the fact that when they had the primary and they had an incarcerated inmate do better than Obama, what does that tell you? I mean, everybody in the country just looking at West Virginia just laughing and just a little stupid idiots. Those dumb hillbillies. They can't even tell the difference between a man who's, you know, in prison or out of prison or was a former prisoner. I'm not sure what his status was, but nonetheless, I thought, good Lord in heaven, that's just absolutely crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Well, I mean, you know what I've been saying for lo these many years, Jim. These little exercises the congressional ones every two years and the presidential one every 4 years. These are no longer simple plebiscites. These are nationally administered IQ tests. And I'm afraid West Virginia has just come in with a score that entitles our state metaphorically to a house helmet and knee pads and elbow pads, lest we hurt ourselves.
Well, I was thinking more of a straight jacket. You know?
Well, yeah.
Or whatever they dolled up, had them.
I mean, I had to wait in line about 30 minutes to vote today.
Yeah, tell me about your voting experience this morning.
Well, it was this afternoon, really.
Okay. Well, that's the reason I asked you last night, what did you plan to wear?
I went casual.
I see, okay.
But wound up standing in line for about 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And you just knew that there weren't a hell of a lot of Obama voters around you.
Well, unless you put one of those things on your nose like undertakers do when they get a corpse at the end of the river, you could probably smell and tell what was going on there.
And, you know, that one blue-haired lady who came in making jokes about, oh, the Obama voters are supposed to go over to the middle school, and there's nobody over there. Haul, haul, haul.
Mm-hmm. Well.
You know, Andy just wrote in, Jim, and said, Mr. Bob, we don't laugh at West Virginia. We just look on with amazement.
Well,
I mean,
Andy lives in a fairly civilized and
Andy lives in civilization. Yes.
And, you know, that's fine. Thank you, Andy. I appreciate that. I'll take that under consideration. But come down here and live, and you'll see exactly what it's like.
It ain't pretty.
No, it's not. And it's a very...
Let's just sort of walk through this vision. I mean, let's see if we can just set radio having its limitations. Let's just see if we can set a bit of a scene, Jim, for what your average raw money voter... has had to help him or her make their decision.
So in fair West Virginia, do we lay our scene?
Precisely.
Okay.
Oh, you're ready. Yeah, that's beautiful. We've got a Shakespearean chorus here, folks. Your voter gets up every morning for the last 3 months, turns on the television, and is bombarded probably something on the order of 100 times a day with various and sundry different ads accusing every Democrat, going back to FDR, of waging a war on coal. And you've seen the ads too, Jim. I know you have.
Briefly, momentarily.
Why didn't West Virginia Attorney General Daryl McGraw help fight against Obamacare? Maybe because he's a damn good lawyer and knew that it was a dead loser? Yeah, just saying. But he didn't have advertising money to fight back against these punks. Nick Rahal loves that Negro Obama. Vote for me, Rick Snuffit. Joe Manchin.
Now that one I missed.
He may want you to think that he's protecting coal, but when he's alone, he's a liberal Obama supporter. Yeah, they ran the same thing on Joe Manchin. And, of course, Nick Rahal, Joe Manchin, Governor Earl Ray Tomlin, would not... it galls them every day that they're in the same country with Barack Obama.
Well, they weren't 4 years ago, were they?
No. No, but then again, 4 years ago, the United Mine Workers endorsed candidate Obama... But they just couldn't seem to figure out how to do that this time through because there's a Obama war on coal. And I mean, you know, by way of setting the scene, it has been war on coal morning. It's been war on coal noon. It's been war on coal night. It's been war on coal breakfast. It's been war on coal lunch. It's been war on coal dinner. Pass the salt. War on coal. Thank you, son. Obama's war on coal. That's right, Dad.
I haven't seen anything that Obama or heard anything that Obama said that even remotely is a war on coal.
Oh, well, see, way back when he was a candidate, he said if cap and trade went through, folks could build coal-fired power plants, but they'd go bankrupt paying for the carbon credits. He said that, and it was not a lie. And it was part of a larger speech that he gave, but they, you know, the coal thugs... hung their hopes on that, and well, it is particularly sickening, Jim, because you probably saw this as well. It was a couple of years ago after the Upper Big Branch disaster when 29 men were incinerated beyond human recognition because of the graft and greed and corruption and merciless profiteering of Don Blankenship and the crowd at Massey Energy. 29 men were incinerated beyond human recognition. Literally, the rescue crews walked past them and did not recognize them as human. All those days that the search was going on, they were walking past them day in and day out. Didn't even recognize them. They didn't even look like humans.
I wonder where Blankenship is now.
His official address is Johnson City, Tennessee.
Well?
But anyway, after that, and you know, you can go and you can find Jim... the transcript and the video of the remarks that both Vice President Biden and President Obama offered on behalf of a grieving nation from their hearts to the people of West Virginia. And the people here return that by searching the word Obama and nigger together more on Google than any other state in the Union. And that's a fact. That's the truth.
That is absolutely deplorable. Absolutely. I don't know. I don't know. I swear to God. I see where Georgia is projected to go for Governor Romney, and also South Carolina probably will too, I'm sure. I'm sure the...
These are the predictable dribbles early in the evening.
Yep, they are.
Dr. John just let me know that they've projected Blanche Manchin to be the winner of the Senate race over Crazy Racy, the man who said that putting a no-smoking sign on his door was just like being marched off to Auschwitz.
Well, you know, when I've seen some of John Racy's ads and stuff like that, I'll be perfectly frank with you. I would have been glad to have escorted him into a cattle car.
Oh, he's a wicked, evil, nasty bastard.
Oh, absolutely. Listen, let me ask you something about last night. I was just about to forget, okay? What is this? Maybe it came from the ether or in my head, not from the my hookup here, but what is this business about the czar being the Antichrist? Did somebody say that?
Yeah. That's part of Mormon eschatology. They've got this fascination with Russia and the czars.
Oh, really?
Yeah, really.
What do they say about the Romanovs?
Well, they're the agents of Satan on Earth.
Well, God, what do they say about Stalin? Or have they gotten around to him yet?
Well, you know, Joseph Smith and Brigham Young were pining for the fjords by then, Jim.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. I thought this was like in their modern eschatology.
Well, no. I mean, their modern eschatology is the same thing as their old eschatology.
So they haven't gotten around to labeling the...
No. Stalin wasn't in those remarks that were written in Reformed Egyptian that doesn't exist.
Well, I think they ought to update their records, don't you think?
You'd hope.
Wonder what they say about Adolf Hitler.
I don't know. I don't know specifically, but I do. Well, what does this say about what they say about Adolf Hitler? They dead baptized him into Mormon heaven.
They did what, Bob? They dead baptized him into Mormon heaven.
Yes.
Well, you know, this kind of violates all stuff I learned in my catechism, but I don't think that's possible.
You're not a Mormon. They also dead baptized Anne Frank into Mormon heaven, and thousands upon thousands of Holocaust victims into Mormon heaven. Now, assuming for a minute, and I realize this is a bit of a leap, at least for me, because I don't believe in most of this crap.
I understand.
But assume for a minute that all of this is real, and, you know, there you are. You died at Treblinka or Dachau or Bergen-Belsen or Auschwitz or any of the other death camps, and you know you go up to heaven, which incidentally some Christian religions really aren't certain about, you know, because you hadn't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior.
Okay.
But we'll take that as read too.
Okay.
Well, you know, you get your robe and your harp and you're hanging out on a cloud there. Maybe you're just walking down them streets paved with gold one day. And here coming at you in the other direction is this little monster with a Charlie Chaplin mustache goose stepping towards you. Now I ask you, what kind of paradise is that, Jim?
I don't know, but I have never envisioned in my entire life as heaven being a place where it's people floating around with harps on clouds or walking around on streets paved with gold.
But you see, there are those who do interpret the scriptures as being literal, and literalism says that heaven is a place with gates made of pearls and streets paved with gold.
Okay, if that's what they say, that's fine.
Yeah, and so, you know, there you go, and, you know, there's Adolf.
I don't think...
Guten Morgen.
I don't think so. By the way,
that's Mormonism. The same Mormonism that Bishop Romney himself claimed that Jesus Christ will return to earth and he will reign for 1,000 years jointly from Jerusalem and somewhere in Missouri.
Well, hey, if that's what they won't believe, that's fine. That's okay with me. I mean, you know, I can, you know, I'm not going to debate that with them. And, you know, I've had the unfortunate experience to deal with some of the kids who are in white shirts on bicycles and dark trousers with little slings over their shoulders and made one mistake and invited them in. And, within 5 minutes, well, hell, 5 seconds, I realized that I made a mistake. And I just finally said, look, I said, you know, I wish you well in all your missions and whatever, but I'm afraid you're not going to find any fertile ground upon which to plant your seeds here. And that being said, I do believe, gentlemen, we're done here. And that's what I would say to them today. Gentlemen, we're done here. Take your literature and give it to someone else. I have enough trash in my compactor. I don't need any more.
And it is that, Jim. It
that
is
that.
Old,
that may be inhospitable. And, oh, Lord, let me tell you a story if you have some time.
Okay, go ahead.
It's back when I lived in Columbia, and I had this, like, tree house, and it was upstairs, downstairs, and I lived upstairs, and it was a cold, bitter night, and I had a fire going, and had a drink in my hand, and friends hadn't come over yet, and there was a knock at the door, and I said, my God, they're early. And it was a group of these people, and I don't know which, I think they were Mormons. I don't even call them, I don't know what to call them, day truth. And so I invited them in, and I had a Russian tea brewing, and I have a samovar, and you know, gave them some hot tea, and of course they ain't no alcohol in this. I said, no, it's just Russian spice tea. That's it. And they were talking about who was going to go to heaven, this, that, and the other. And my big cat at the time, the brindle beast, was sleeping by the hearth, and I said, what about her? What do you mean, what about her? She ain't got no soul. She ain't going nowhere.
Oh, dear.
And I said, ladies, gentlemen, you just said the wrong fucking thing.
You know, I think you were dealing...
How long will it take for you to get down those stairs before you're going to have me pushing you down them?
There were women involved?
There were 2 women and 3 guys.
Okay, those were Jehovah's Witnesses.
Oh, is that what they are?
Yeah, because they're all the time wanting to talk about who's going to heaven. Because even though there's more than 144,000 Jehovah's Witnesses, they say that heaven ain't got room for nobody but 144,000 people.
Well, they base their numbers on base 2, base 10, or base 16?
Base 12.
Base 12?
Yeah, you know, 12,000 people for each of the 12 tribes of Israel equals 144,000 people, and sorry... You know, so that just means you have to work at being a really good witness. Of course, there's more than 144,000 dead Jehovah's Witnesses. So they're kind of engaged in a fool's errand anyway, but yeah, that's me.
And I think right before that, you know, I'd asked them about not defending their country. And that, there was just a deathly hush over the room, and I knew what their answer to that would be. And then they said that about the cat, and I said, hit the door.
Bye-bye now.
You damn right I did. I said,
well, you know what? If you can't even manifest a good Mark Twain, if heaven were based upon merit instead of grace, the dog would come in and the people would stay out.
Well, I'm afraid you're right. You are. That's what I told them right before I told them to hit the door. I said, you mean to tell me that that beautiful creature who has never harmed anyone, who has depended upon my kindness and my compassion for one of God's creatures, and you are telling me that they're expound? I think that's what I said. This has been like 20 years ago. It was back in the late 80s or something like that. But it just really infuriated me. And I was just trying to be hospitable with these people because it was a bad night. And I thought to myself, well, anybody who's out on a night like this at least deserves hospitality. And that's one thing I've always deserved throughout my life is hospitality.
Well, it's interesting you would mention that, Jim, because that's one of those things that their book is big on. And even more so the Quran. There's all kinds of things you can do to people on this earth, but the Quran says the one thing you don't do is screw over a stranger or a guest.
Absolutely, absolutely. As a matter of fact, that's one of the reasons that it's been given on some of these documentaries about Sodom and Gomorrah. It's because they violated rules of hospitality. I don't know. I see these things on the History Channel and on the Nat Geo Channel and stuff like that. I don't know. And I don't even try to pretend like I know. I just listen. It absorbs to a certain point, and then I just relegate it to a certain part of my mind because I know that somewhere in there it's still locked in. It's everything I've ever seen, heard, felt, or smelled is inside my cranium. But nonetheless, I just absorb it. But anyway, look, we've gone on too long here, and I want to thank Kate for her birthday wishes. She's a very kind person, and she is indeed. She has such an awful lot to offer, and I'm not sure what kind of work she does or whatever, but it would appear to me as though she is out there on the road trying to help people.
It is in Kate's nature to do the work that she perceives needs doing.
Well, I have every bit of respect for her courage and her goodwill. Because that's what it's all about in this world. I mean, we have just such a finite time here.
Yep.
And whatever you can do that is good for somebody or to try to help them, then that is definitely in your favor.
Absolutely.
And it certainly has a lot of weight with me. And I'm sure it does with the good Lord above. And that's the way I feel. As of late, as of being so cranky and everything, having lived up here, I'm afraid I've become leery of a lot of people, if you know what I mean. Brutalize you to the point where you become just as insensitive as some of the people here are around you. And I think that sense of being brutalized and to lacking sensitivity is something that is overcoming this nation. Not that we didn't have tendencies toward that anyway, because of everybody's trying to scratch their way to the top or whatever. But it's become so apparent ever since the Reagan years. It really has.
By the way, just by way of helping out, Tim from L.A., Jim, has sent us a citation to Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 49 and 50. Behold, this was the guilt of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters had pride, excess of food, and prosperous ease, but did not aid the poor and needy. They were haughty and did an abomination before me, so I removed them when I saw it.
Well, from what archaeologists have discovered, apparently something moved them pretty quickly. And they found evidence of a lot of, quick action there. They really have. But lately, here, and maybe it's the onset of age, I'm just not nearly as open to people as I used to be.
Well, I think that one's ability or willingness to suffer fools, Jim, is inversely proportional to the aging process.
It could be. Could it be that my shit detector has become enhanced?
It is probably hair trigger wired at this point.
Bob, it sure as hell is. That's for damn sure. But, you know, I cannot understand this business that the Mormons feel about the imperial family.
Oh, they've got one. Well, Jim, I have enjoyed this immensely, enjoy your cocktail. I hope there is reason to break out that B&B a little bit later.
Well, I'm looking at TV right now, and they're not calling anything. Bob, they've called so much lately, and they've called this, that, and the other, and I have listened to so many of these pundits and so many of these polls that it makes you even sick of the entire process, or pageant, or whatever you want to call it.
It wears you out.
I mean, from the onset of the first political ads to the first debate, the second debate, and then, of course, the vice presidential debate, and this, and all the other debates or whatever they want to call them, or pageants as you have aptly termed them, it does wear you out. I mean, you're trying to live your life, and you're trying to say, well, tomorrow I will wake up, and hopefully it's a better day, but cut on the news, and there's always some asshole up there just going on and going on, and he each has his own particular methodology behind it that is not designed for you, but for him, and to make somebody a dollar. It's sad. It really is.
Well, it is. And by the way, Jim, the polls will be closing in Florida in about 3 minutes.
And have you seen the indications?
No, I have not, and I don't think anybody, will be calling Florida anytime, almost no sooner than Ohio. But they've got Barack Obama at 6 and Willard at 49 right now, but that's not at all surprising.
Oh, Bob, I remember back in 2000 they called Florida at like 8:10 and then had to reverse the calling. Well, listen, you take care, and my regards to all you callers, and I hope that everybody has.
Well, I will. I certainly will. And Marty just wrote in with a message for you. He says, tell Jim that I'm so tired of this whole BS fest that I fear I've lost my sense of smell. So, yeah.
And I wish I had. Like I say, I've got one of those things that you put under your nose and undertakers use that will kill the sense of, as Frank Zappa once put it, the slime oozing from the TV set. Remember that one?
Yeah, I am the slime, indeed.
I'm gross and perverted. I'm sick and deranged, or whatever it was. It was on one of the cuts of Dynamo Hum, one of my favorite songs.
Yeah, that's.
Mothers of Invention. I'll tell you, the worst movie I ever saw, and I'm going to close on this, was 200 Motels.
I'm not familiar with that.
That you need to see. No, you don't need to see it. No, I'm not going to recommend that for you or anybody else. It was just a kind of movie back in the 70s where you toked up, took one with you in the car, and then tried to get into the theater without stumbling over or just laughing yourself crazy.
I remember those midnight movies. Jim, have yourself a good evening, my friend.
Okay, I may call you back later if you're going to have a line open.
There'll be a line open.
I'll do my best.
All right. See you, Jim.
All right.
Bye now.
Bye.
Our good buddy Jim, calling from not too terribly far from here. Sandra is on Skype. Hey, Sandra.
Hey, Bob. Can you hear me?
I got you.
Listen, Florida is looking pretty interesting for Obama. I mean, he's leading by 3 or 4%. I mean, they're only reporting 34%, but if he wins Florida, I think these Republicans are going to have some sort of collective aneurysm because Romney is going to be in big trouble, I think, if he can't get Florida.
That closes pretty much his pathway, doesn't it?
Yeah, but, I see Blanche is back in the Senate.
Yeah.
That piece of shit. I mean, you know, I understand it's so-called Democrat, but yuck. But you know what's really disturbing is that Ohio race, I can't believe, I mean, the guy who's Brown is running against is a complete, you know, wackadoodle.
The word I was looking for was asshole.
He's horrifying, and I guess it must be all that money that they poured into.
Well, his name is Josh Mandel. Did you see this letter that his own family put out against him?
No.
Yeah. Josh Mandel's all family values and don't like the gay people and wants to make marriage between one man and one woe man and all of that stuff, Sandra. So his extended family, his extended Jewish family, I might add, because, I mean, really? Christian family values? Honestly? His extended family wrote the following, if you can bear with me for a second. Your cousins, Ellen Ratner and Colleen Espinoza, are among the many wonderful couples whose rights you do not recognize. They were married almost 8 years ago in Massachusetts at a time when it was the only state in the Union to allow same-sex marriage. Their wedding, like yours, was a beautiful and happy occasion for all of us in our family. It hurts us that you would embrace discrimination against them and countless other loving couples in Ohio and around the country. We're equally distressed by your belief that gay men and women should not be allowed to serve openly in the military. Like you, Colleen spent many years in the armed forces. A graduate of the Air Force Academy and an accomplished pilot, she became the second woman in history to fly the U-2 recon plane. And yet you have argued that she, like many gay and lesbian soldiers, should be forced to live a life of secrecy and lies. Josh, as you know, our roots are deep in the Cleveland area, and we have friends and family we love throughout Ohio. This family is sprawling and diverse, but it has always believed strongly in the values of equality and inclusiveness. Your discriminatory stance violates these core values of our family. Nevertheless, we hope that over time, as you advance in years and wisdom, you will come to embrace the values of inclusiveness and equality as well. And it was signed by 9 of his cousins.
Oh, God. Well, I mean, yeah, you know, but it shouldn't be a close race. I hope that Sherrod Brown's able to pull it off, but geez. Listen, Grayson is like kicking serious butt. 63 to something crazy. And it looks like Alan West is, he doesn't seem to be doing all that great either.
Well, that would be some of the happiest news of the evening to get him on out of there.
Yeah, so, I mean, but, of course, you know, the Democrats keep putting up these blue dogs, and as Truman always says, you know, why vote for a fake Republican when you can vote for a real one? And they're losing. But it's the, progressive ones like Grayson, you know, he's winning. And even with all that money they're throwing at, in the Ohio with Sherrod Brown, I mean, he still is projected to win, but we'll see.
Well, it's I just got word in, I guess some channels are calling Missouri and Illinois for Obama.
They called Illinois for Obama. Illinois, Maryland, Rhode Island, Connecticut, Delaware. No, Mitt Romney to win Kentucky. No, Connecticut.
Romney, Connecticut?
That's what they're projecting.
Oh, hell, does that mean we're going to wind up with Linda McMahon in the Senate?
Connecticut, Delaware.
No, I'm looking at the map on NBC, and they're showing Maine, Vermont, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut, all Obama.
For Obama, okay. Yeah. I guess I'm looking, yeah, okay. So, and he won Massachusetts, too, which is quite funny since that's Romney's home. Isn't
yeah,
it?
And well, and that's where Bishop Willard has plans to hold his victory celebration. Did you catch this business about how Bishop Willard, being a faithful man, only wrote one speech?
The concession speech?
No, he only wrote his victory speech.
Oh, right. I guess that's me projecting. I'm like, wow. What's happening with New Jersey, though? You know, them poor folks. Are they able to vote?
It's my understanding that significant and heroic efforts have been made. It remains to be seen. I find it interesting that there are reports of college students being turned away from polling places in Philly.
Yeah, no, I mean, Pennsylvania is in complete chaos from what I've been following during the day. And so, you know, Ohio too, and Florida. So, I mean, they just said in Virginia they're not even going to report because they still have people online. So, yeah. I mean, it's so disturbing because our voting system is so dubious. You're like, okay.
Really, I mean, at this point, and I understand everybody's complaints about having had it up to here with this whole process, and I share some of that. I share a lot of that, Sandra. But honest to God, really, we can't put on an election? The country that sent a man to the moon can't put on an election?
Oh, no. I mean, you think about the $2.6 billion they spent, and then you see this madness going on. I mean, it's embarrassing. It really is.
They are projecting Bill Nelson to be returned to the Senate in Florida.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yay. You know, another one of those kumbaya guys.
Yeah, he's just, you know, great, I guess. But,
But at this stage of the process, I think we're gonna get a steady stream of the usual suspects. Ben Cardin has been returned to the Senate in Maryland.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's good. Especially from our position, because he's a friend of the struggle against mountaintop removal.
Well, you know, what is this whole thing with, you know, this Nate Silver? I mean, is he queer? Why is all this sort of what's all the effeminate?
Oh, jokes? They have sleezed Nate Silver to the point of that it rises to the level of outright gay baiting.
Oh, because I'm like, oh my God, isn't he just a statistician?
Well, what he is a geek. And I mean, I'm not being insulting. He's the first one who will tell you, I am a geek. But he comes off, he's got this high-pitched voice, and he's not real telegenic because he is a nerd. And I mean that with love in my heart. But these right-wingers who have decided that they hate him for what he has said have shown the patheticness of their nature. Because instead of trying to really refute, because his analysis is kind of irrefutable, they're going after his perceived sexual orientation. He's not out as a heterosexual or as a homosexual. So, you know,
right?
Yeah.
That whole storyline is just bizarre. And then you know, was looking at his blog, and I can see why the right wing's freaking out, because, you know, he's not playing ball, you know?
Right,
no gut check. It's all kind of scientific. Yikes.
Yeah, and see, he really made his bones.
Well, with
baseball.
Right, okay.
Because baseball is statistic heavy.
And then didn't he also get credit for calling like 49 of the, you know, like did some amazing.
Yeah, and he called 2010 the flip in the house. He called that on the button, and they loved him then.
Right, that's what I mean. I just thought that his model was fairly novel and works pretty well, right?
Yeah.
I mean, considering the polls now with the new media. The poll industry is freaking out because they have such a low response now. I mean, you can hardly validate the polls anymore. If they have a 9% response rate, that's not enough.
No, it isn't.
Even I know that, you know, yeah, it's not enough. It's not enough people to get anything that's plausible. But anyway, let's see. Yeah, I didn't really, you know, I'm just calling in just because I can, to be honest, Bob. I'm feeling pretty subdued about it all. It's kind of doing
well,
my
head. That's the whole purpose, Sandra. Don't apologize. There's a lot of programs out there that are spending lots of time with statistics and horse race memes and all of that various and sundry crap, but I find a hell of a lot more value in just discussing where we stand and how we feel.
Yeah, no, because I mean, it's been such a, it's been going on for years. I'm just like, OMG on all this. So today, like I said, I just find, I went out and, you know, did my little voting, and then, you know, I'm just really feeling kind of meh about it, you know?
Yeah, I know. And you know, as far as value, though, is concerned, Sandra, nobody else has Dr. John's story of being disenfranchised, even though he did everything right in North Carolina. You know, nobody's got that. It needs to get broader dissemination, because, you know, if that was done to Dr. John, God knows how many again, like I was talking with Jim, God knows how many thousands of other people have had it done to them. You know, you fill out your voter registration correctly, everything's right, and you get your voter registration card, and then you find out later at the polls, the day that you go to vote, oh, we mail you a verification letter, and it was returned to us, so you don't get to vote a real ballot. Here's your provisional.
I mean, it's too much. I mean, I was still tripping on that that Greg Palast story when he was there where the church-going black people were voting, and they were handed this form to fill out, which turns out to be some sort of provisional absentee, straight-up illegal. So there's a good chance that these people's votes can be not counted. And this is, you know, hundreds, thousands of people in Ohio who may be subjected to this disenfranchisement. I mean, it's just stunning to me that they're putting voters through all this, yet some billionaire can donate in complete secrecy with the protection of courts, Congress, and every other sort of institution. I mean, what do you think that, isn't there something wrong with that? You don't have to be a political junkie to see the problem with that, yet nothing seems to be being done about it.
Elections in one form or another, Sandra, have been carried out through virtually every human civilization since we became humans, from picking who's going to lead the clan, that's a clan with a C, to picking who's going to, you know, who's, I mean, my God, the Romans did it. The Greeks did it. The Greeks did it on pottery sherds, and all they did was count the broken pieces of pottery. But this country can't do an election?
I mean,
do Joe and Jane Sixpack look at that with the same sense of just stunned amazement that you and I and the rest of the Horn family do? I'm at a loss. I mean, how do you look at Ohio and say, well, you know, these things happen?
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I just don't even understand the setup. We've been going through election cycle after election cycle with this, like, it's like some sort of, you know, Einstein, you know, insanity, that whole quote. I mean, this is what that is.
Yeah, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result.
Yeah, I mean, and it's like, it's unbelievable that the amount of money that's being plowed into this madness and nothing is devoted to the actual voting, not to mention the HAVA money is just used over and over again to keep repairing these machines. I mean, it is such a joke.
You know, I was really proud today, Sandra. I got a call from my oldest daughter. She was calling to sort of needle her old dad. Her mom carried the phone into me, and she said, "Dad, I just wanted you to know that we went out and we canceled you and Mom's votes and voted for Romney." I knew she was playing, but
where does she live?
She lives in another West Virginia county, little tiny polling place, little bit of nothing. And the only way she had of attempting to vote was on a pair of video games. I mean, and here's my point, Sandra. I can almost maybe make a case for there being a necessity for these, if they worked, these video game voting machines in some circumstances. I mean, look at New York and New Jersey. Wherever they were, the ballots were all spoiled because they're sopping wet and the ink's run, okay? I mean, let's just work with that. So you bring in some video game voting machines and you do it that way. Okay. But we're talking about a little precinct in one of West Virginia's least populous counties where the voter turnout might be 100 at that precinct. Now, why in God's name...
And they still have a machine.
Yeah, why in God's name do you have $30,000 machines for that when a stack of paper ballots is more than adequate and has been proven to be so for nearly 200 years?
No, because while America was sleeping, the franchise was privatized. I mean, I just think that in itself, if it wasn't so tragic, it would just be laughable.
I mean, this business, one, of Tag Romney having control of a company that owns voting machines in Ohio, and two, that they need last-minute software patches that they've known about since September but didn't get around to doing until night before last?
And only for the major, big areas where there are people, a lot of people are voting, too. That's another thing that's... I mean, it's just...
Right. Again, it's not in some little pissant farm county where there's going to be 400 people showing up.
And it's it's sort of like a major tabulation. It's not just a machine. It's where they sent, so-called central command. I mean, all of it just sounds ridiculous. We should have nothing like that. And I direct you to that picture of the election in France where you had a clear box and people dropping paper in it. My eyes almost bugged out on that shit. That was this past election when Hollande was elected. That's what they do in France.
Meanwhile, because we're talking about computers, Sandra, and back when our dear friend Peter Godbold was teaching me to build computers, you know, to keep us on the air and stuff, at some point in time, he would say things like, God save us all from users. Because, well, there are folks out there that just don't handle, you know, not hackers or crackers or, you know, don't get down into the guts of the system. They just want the damn thing to work. And, you know, they periodically answer emails from Nigerian widows who are trying to get their inheritance back.
Right.
Okay, so you've got these sensitive machines that are the source of what is laughingly referred to as democracy in this country, and you're putting them in the hands of people who probably have no idea how they work, from the Secretary of State's office or Board of Elections all the way down. A classic example today, Galveston County, Texas. Now, the poll workers there, you know, because, you know, you're not going to have an IT professional come in and set up every machine. They're going to have classes where they're taught, and then, you know, first you press the blue button, and then you press the green, red button, and blah, 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 and here's how you calibrate, and, you know, and all of that has to happen right, or the whole thing goes to hell. So in Galveston County, Texas today, the poll workers show up, and they don't start the video game voting machines early enough so that the things are done booting by the time the polls open.
Right.
So somebody had to go to court and get an order stating that Galveston County's polls had to stay open an extra 2 hours tonight.
Right, as opposed to... Because they have to keep using these machines, and it's absurd. Scrap the machine and have paper ballots ready to go. I mean, you know, it's just ridiculous, and I think it all comes down to this proprietary, private, someone has to make some money off of this aspect of it, which is just a joke. It's unbelievable.
It is the profitization of the franchise, and it comes from the same mindset that says, you know what, our prisons would be a lot better off if we were letting it be run like a business.
No, it's too bizarre. So apparently, it looks like the pussies are winning in Missouri. I guess rape ain't that fun, after all.
Well, but didn't I see Claire McCaskill too close to call?
Oh, they're saying it's too close? Okay, I thought she was up 7%.
Oh, well, I'm sitting here watching MSNBC with the sound down because I can't abide the damn coal commercials on CNN, and I saw Too Close to Call.
All right.
But I was watching the chat room, and Jug of Punch in there said that apparently the reports are that Sherrod Brown is just stomping a mud hole in our buddy Josh Mandel there, whose cousins don't like him anymore.
Oh, okay, yeah. okay. It's so interesting because, I mean, I don't know what the number is. I mean, just zillions of dollars poured in that race to get rid of this man. I mean, it was crazy kind of Chinese money and just some crazy ass money to get rid of him.
And yet, but here's a question. If you know that Josh Mandel is getting stomped, how is it you can't know who wins the presidential election?
Listen, I mean, all of it is so suspect because of the machines. I mean, I know it may sound simple, and of course the left is being accused of being conspiratory, but it's not conspiratory. There is, if you give any thought to the idea that voting should not be privatized, I mean, how difficult is that, Bob? You know, come on.
Well, but it's very difficult, Sandra, in a day and age in which the American people, instead of being bathed in the sort of patriotic jingoism of the past, have been bathed in a corporatist jingoism that says, business can do everything better. I cannot tell you how many interviews I've seen with drooling, knuckle-walking, ignorant people who say, well, I'm going to vote for Romney because, you know, he's a businessman, and he knows a lot about business. Well, what the hell? Honestly, what the hell makes anybody think that knowing something about business means you know anything about government? You need people in government who know about government.
I don't understand. You know, I keep coming back to why we aren't addressing this voting situation, and the only answer is too many interests are making money off of it. So when that happens in this country, it never changes, right? That's how things have been recently. Whenever there's a vested in private interest in any kind of common activity, we never get it back.
Right. Yeah. Although Beth sent this in to me last night. You know how worked up the right wing's been about voter fraud? You know, people trying to double vote and cheat on the vote and vote extra and vote early and vote often, all of that, you know, because, you know, that's what was teaching people to do, right? They caught one. A person has actually been caught in the United States of America trying to vote illegally.
What, a Republican?
Absolutely.
Right. I mean, yeah, of course. I mean, this is...
Redheaded white lady from southern Nevada.
Yeah, this is their M.O. So, I wonder if that Claire, she's a horrible Democrat.
Oh yeah, I mean no.
She's the worst. She's like the worst.
Yeah, she's never gonna win the Bernie Sanders Progressive Senate Award or anything. Not by a long shot.
I read the funniest tweet. They said they knew that West Virginia wasn't gonna go for Obama because too many people use the N word in the exit polls.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I'm like, oh,
and I don't know. Was that supposed to be a joke? Because I wouldn't doubt it in the least. Because of what I mentioned to Jim a little bit ago about that study, you know, that was done by that researcher at Harvard that said more people hunt the N-word and Obama on Google from West Virginia than anywhere else in the country. And that says a hell of a lot when you consider that this is a little pissant state with 1.5 million people in it. And we can out N-word the whole country?
Well, I'm still laughing at the hashtag of stay white and vote white. Those are my favorite ones of the day.
Jesus.
You know? Well, listen, I'll give you a call back later if it starts getting really stupid. But I have to go and...
I have no reason to suspect that it won't start getting really stupid, especially if this wave goes across America. Sandra, have a wonderful evening.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
All right, bye now. And you, too, can get involved in the conversation via Skype, if you wish. The Skype handle is Bob Kincaid Horn. If I haven't approved you as a friend, that sounds so elitist, just send a friend request, and by God, I'll do it right away, lickety-split, and you can get in. Bob Kincaid, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D, H-O-R-N, Horn. If you want to get involved in the ordinary telephone side of the conversation, 304-658-3333 is the number, and on to the phones we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello, good from beautiful downtown Colorado Springs.
Well, hey, Kevin, how are you? You lost the pool, buddy.
Yeah, I heard, but, you know, wasn't too far off. Neither one of us were too far off there, were we?
No, and, you know, it blows my mind that they did it. I mean, I sometimes I have these little moments of silly-ass optimism where I think, nah, come on. But they did. They did. The Fox News went all new Black Panther Party.
Yep.
And they did it this morning because Sam Cedar was talking about it by the time he went on the air midday.
Yep. Well, I wasn't watching Fox News to see if I won, so I didn't. I don't care about Fox News. I don't want to see Fox News. I don't want to hear Fox News. The state of things here is just amazing to me. You and Sandra are talking about the voting machine and the French doing what they're doing. And we look down at the French. You know, I mean, who's the one with the problem? You know, it's like someone with an addiction, that would be us, who's pointing over at the other person, but can't see the addiction that they have, and our addiction is to technology. But like you said, the users, the guy said, God save me from the users. This whole world, we just want it to work. We don't care to know how it works. We just want it to know how it works. And you talked about the poll workers. The poll workers I run into don't seem to be especially trained. And I don't know what that's a reflection of. Are you still there?
Oh, I'm here. I'm listening.
Yeah. And a friend of mine, developmentally disabled kid, had problems. We've had these accessible machines here in Colorado for a couple of years now. And they were trying to get him to operate an accessible machine that you put on headphones and you have a little keypad and press the buttons. They were trying to get him to use the touch screen. They had no clue about the keypad. He was the one that had to tell him about the keypad. And then they stood there and watched, according to him, the touch screen showed who he was voting for. That touch screen is supposed to be off. And it's not a reflection of poll workers doing anything mean. It's that they're just under-educated, under-trained for this. And it goes back, you know, I don't know about your state, but our state, the poll workers, that's a one-day job. You know,
well, I mean, I don't know how it is with anybody else, but or any other states, but it's not a one-day job here, Kevin, because you have to go to trainings, and they go over what the law is with you. And if you don't show up for all the trainings, you don't get the check.
I had a friend that was pretty involved with it. I think they had 1 4-hour training, and that was it. Now, you can't get everything into 1 4-hour training. You can get the law and all that stuff, and then you got to have another training on the machines, and of course there's the accessible machines and blah blah blah. You know, it is not a one-day training, but out here we seem to think, oh yeah, we can get Granny to do it for $150 a day and that's it. And that's where you run into a lot of these problems that are not of the so-called conspiratorial type, because that email I sent you about those voter registrations being rejected, we knew long ago that that was going to happen. He said, Scott Gessler said, he would reject those voter signatures if they weren't the same. Now, I signed my voter registration card years ago. My signature today is nowhere near what my signature would be today, which is one of the reasons I didn't do an absentee ballot or a mail-in ballot, because he told people it would be rejected if the signatures weren't exactly the same. Not the same, but exactly the same.
Right. And so, you know, if you've got a middle initial and you usually sign it Kevin, middle initial, dot, last name, and you forget the dot, that's yep. not exactly the same.
Exactly. And, you know, I may sign my voter registration and driver's license one way and other forms another way that aren't so legal. And so on the day that I do my ballot, I forget and I don't sign it with the very formal signature. It's not the same, you know. And it just, you know, what kind of country are we that we're finding reasons for people not to vote?
Right, because the real risk of people ineligible to vote voting, you know, come on, Kevin, we can't get the people who are eligible to vote. What makes anybody think people who aren't are gonna? There's no way to look at this issue and come down anywhere except there is a certain class of people who are eligible to vote that the Republican Party is desperate to prevent from voting.
Exactly. No other way to say it.
I mean, they may as well go back to using the paper bag test for, you know, for voting.
Yep. What was the paper bag test?
Well, if your skin's dark, if your skin's darker than a grocery bag,
okay,
you ain't voting.
No, I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm still really optimistic.
Kevin, you're breaking up real bad, my friend.
Can you hear me now?
Better? Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'll let you go, because if it's breaking up, I don't want to put everybody through that. I may call back during the latter half of the show tonight.
In the special extended coverage version? Yes.
Exactly, where you and Rachel Maddow and... what's that guy's name for Fox? Brett something or other?
Oh, Brett Baer and it, right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You need to get him on the program. And,
oh, wouldn't that just be a joy?
Oh, boy. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that very much. And I'm glad. See, this is where the Internet is taking us, Bob. That's the good part of it. Because you can do that. And you can stay on the air however late you want to tonight. You're not restricted by a network or a station. They're not going to cut you off at a certain hour if you want to stay on the air.
Oh, no, they won't even cut me off if I say booger.
Exactly.
Booger, booger, booger.
Yeah.
Right.
It's taken a while to get there, but you're on the cusp of something good. So...
Oh, Lordy. We've been on the cusp for a very long time, Kevin, but it's a fun place to be, I can tell you. You have yourself a wonderful evening. I'll look forward to hearing from you later.
Okay, Bob. Take care.
All right. Bye now.
Bye.
And, yeah, a reminder that we will be coming back at midnight. John Fox will likely be joining us. Rick Smith will be joining in the conversation. If you're prone to listening, well... Just get the word out, would you? Let people know that there is going to be live, no kidding, really live radio going on where people can have their own say, except for right-wingers. They are not allowed to speak on this radio on this radio program. Oh, thank God. Murphy beats McMahon in Connecticut Senate. Phew. That means Joe Lieberman's gone. Do you know I heard him mentioned as a possible Romney Secretary of State or some... Oh, my God. Yeah. But, no, there's going to be live conversation from midnight Eastern, 9 Pacific, for a couple of hours at least. My God, I think... Michael, are you still out there? We were up till like 4 a.m. in 2008, weren't we? Yeah. And if you're an old friend of the show and you haven't called in a while, hey, Joe Vecchio, I'm talking to you, buddy. Give a shout. Because this is an effort that is ongoing that was built by many, many people. Many people, including you now. So starting at midnight Eastern, 9 Pacific, we will have continued conversation here and the conversation. Now, if there's nobody on the line, I'm not going to go more than an hour. It is entirely dependent upon you and what you wish to talk about. I'm going right back to the phones in a matter of minutes, just a couple of minutes, but email coming in here from our buddy Philip. He says, my patriotic duty is done. And as I sat there and waited for my wife to finish voting, I counted the shaved heads surrounding me. Given that I bear, says Philip, a resemblance to an older Bob the Bear height of canned heat, it was a strange feeling to see so many shiny heads in this county of Republicans in a Democratic state. How I wish I was in my home state of Massachusetts voting against Scott Brown and for Elizabeth Warren, still too close to call, without any reservation, so to speak. As we say in Salagi, Cherokee, which I studied in Texas, Wado, and Donada Goha, Scott, thanks and goodbye. You can buy a new truck now. Your discussion of marriage rights with Sandra prompts me to tell you that I voted yes for equality in civil marriage. Frankly, Bob, if I'm going to be forced into a gay marriage, I want it to be at least as civil, if not more so, than my heterosexual marriage has been. Oh, boy. Phillip's on a roll. Still, I am opposed to same-sex marriage. I don't know about other horn listeners, but when one is married for decades, the same sex day after day, week after week, year after year, is boring and makes me want to send to Utah for a few sex videos to add variety and spice to the connubial relations. So it goes. A friend called me this evening to rant about the lost votes in Ohio, and I had to halt the conversation. At this point in my dotage, if there's going to be another coup, I'd just as soon remain blissfully ignorant. It will be tough enough grappling with a president who wears funny underwear, rejects science, and believes the Galilean came to this continent. The Galilean came to this continent as a documented alien. Having lived for almost half of my life in the Southland and 10 of it in the stolen former Republic of Texas, I learned long ago that the best answer to those who tried to impose their religious views on me by inquiring if I were born again was to say with a serious face, no. Fortunately, my mother was successful the first time. The look of incredulity on the questioner's earnest face suggested that he or she thought I was an idiot or a hell-bound wise-ass. Either way, they left me alone. I wish I were religious tonight, Philip says. I would be praying fervently and reciting passages from the Gospel of Brother Albert. I'm too broke and old to emigrate and start all over again, and the winters in Canada are even worse than those of my home state. Here's hoping that Scott Brown appears soon as the centerfold in a women's magazine and the glory of the former People's Republic of Massachusetts is restored. I always voted for Ted Kennedy because of his commitment to the poor, young, and elderly, and John Kerry, so he would be in Washington boring others to death rather than on television in Massachusetts. Thanks for letting me know Ben Cardin has won. Unlike my days in Texas, my vote in Maryland matters. I'd almost forgotten what that was like. Be well. And that's directed to all of us. Philip. Let's see. With a 1% count, 79% for Obama and 20% for Romney. Some other numbers coming in from Andy. Virginia, 59% to 40% Romney. North Carolina, 50% to 49% Romney. Dr. John's vote would have helped. Ohio, 62% to 37% for Obama. What? And Florida, 51% to 49% for Obama. CNN numbers. Representative Alan West losing bad in Florida. Yeah. And Murdoch in Talibandiana losing. This in from Cindy in the Great Northwest. Lieberman for Secretary of State under Romney? I don't know. But how about Glenn Beck for Romney's press secretary? Yeah, that'd be pro. Cindy also noting, big surprise, not Alaska went to Romney. Wow. Here it is, about 21 minutes before the hour, and we will go onward. Hey, welcome to the program. Yes.
This is Edward in Dallas.
Well, hey, Edward.
We're doing fine here. And you were talking about the First Baptist Church, and I sent you an email. The First Baptist Church owns this little ranch that makes a lot of money for them. It's called Downtown Dallas.
Some ranch.
You telling me? I'd love to own it. And your program, you were preaching, so I almost started shouting and talking in tongues.
Well, just as long as you don't pick up the strychnine jug, you'll be fine,
well,
Edward.
No, and I don't handle snakes. I like snakes, but
I like them well enough, far, far away.
That's right. And my granddaddy had a king snake in his barn, and ate the rats and everything. So, and you dare not touch that king snake.
Oh no, I got that same lesson here as a little boy. No, that's a black snake. He is my friend.
Mm-hmm.
You leave him alone.
Oh, yeah. My granddaddy would jump on you if you messed with that snake. I am just delighted listening to your program, and keep up the good work, and I will try to keep in touch with you.
Well, I sincerely hope that you do, Edward, and stay away from the snakes.
And I'm just loving all the conversation that's going on.
Well, I really do think we've got something here that is unlike most anything else, and it has a beautiful value to it.
You're telling me. Take care.
All right. You have a good night, Edward.
I will.
Bye now.
Bye.
Edward calling from Dallas, apparently a wholly owned subsidiary of the Dallas, the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas. Let's keep it rolling. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Brother Bob.
Brother Albert.
Today. All right, man. Nice hearing from Edward, and I loved that was some beautiful writing by Philip. That was exceptional. I really enjoyed listening to that.
Well, his take on same-sex marriage, well, same old sex day in and day out. Where's a sister wife when you need one?
Indeed. Brilliant quilting. Brilliant. So we're doing pretty decent.
Well, what's it looking like up that way?
Who knows?
Well, I mean, your polls won't close for, what, another hour?
I think so.
Or another, at least, but about an hour and 20 minutes?
Brother Bob, it gets so dark up here so quick. I have no idea what my circadian clock is just spinning backwards.
It's a wreck.
I have no idea what time it is. It's a wreck. And I don't even know how long I'm going to have to stay up tonight. So I'm not even paying attention. I'm just looking at individual counts.
Well, you know, we're going to keep it rolling after 11 o'clock your time,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'll be here. You know, it's looking pretty good to me. You know, I mean, if Alan West is gone, that's half the battle right there. Phil Bachman? Oh, we'll find out soon enough. And, Brown's got to go. He can't stick around. That's an embarrassment to Massachusetts. Right?
Well, big shock. I made a mistake. I said something about Alaska a minute ago. No, they've called Alabama Stan and Arkansas Stan for Willard Romney.
I'm shocked. Obama's doing pretty decent in Florida. You know.
I just got a note in from Darlene saying, "Thank God." Or thank goodness Chris Murphy won the Senate seat over that horrid woman, Linda McMahon.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't want to start celebrating too early, but...
No. I ain't cracked the seal on nothing yet. Rot gut or good stuff, either one.
Yeah, well, you're a brave man.
Well, but cold weather's on the way, so you've probably already brought your 12 cases of brandy into the basement, right?
And you know what? There's some New Belgium Red Hoptober.
Ooh.
Fitting, and it was $10 for a 12-pack. I mean...
Oh!
Yeah, I had to. I was like, oh.
Of course, you know how I feel about my spotted cow.
Yeah, that's good stuff, too. But you can get that, that would be about 12, so not so bad. Yeah, we got cheese curds here. I don't even know how much they'd cost anywhere else. I remember I was in Manhattan, they were about $8. And they actually had the curds from my town in the what is that, in the Grand Central Station, there's a market there. And I went, and we were there, and I went, and I looked at it, and yeah, they had them, and they were like $8. I pay about $2.50. So, yeah, I wouldn't even want to imagine how much that kind of stuff.
Well, and them cheese curds have been traveling if they've gotten to Grand Central Station. You want them fresh and squeaky, right?
Yeah, oh, they're fresh and squeaky. Oh, they get them flown in. You know, they don't mess around. You know, it's Manhattan. You know, they just don't prepare for the...
You know, never in my life did I ever anticipate that I would think about contemplating the carbon footprint of flown-in cheese curds.
Well, that's what you got when you got money, right? I mean, you know, you think they're going to settle for less? They're not going to settle for less. They're going to want what it is. You know, heck, I mean, even when, you know, talk about me opening the pizzeria over here, you know, because of the region that I'm in, I'm trying to do it as local, all the local cheese, like local Parmesan from my local creamery. It's sold. They don't even sell it. They just make it under contract for, you know, Italian companies or, you know, what have you. And they don't stay here. They go, you know, everything they make, everything. There's nothing they sell locally. You know, and I'm trying to sit here like, wow, well, I have other alternatives, but that's the kind of thing I'm saying, you know, when there's something that's quality. You know, where are you going to find Dom Perignon? You know, how do you think that gets here?
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know, it's just, you know, there's certain things like that, you know. And where are you going to get the hummingbird tongues? You know, you need it.
Right. I mean, right. And it's only a special breed of lark that regurgitates that lark vomit that's so delicious on the canapes.
And I really like, you know, I really like the Talibaniana.
Talibandiana?
Yeah, that's a good one. Talibandiana. I like that. That's a new one. That's going to stick. Because it's in the northern... What a weird place that is. What is going on with Indiana? Don't they even drive on their own roads?
No, they sold those.
I know. That's what I mean. Have you driven on them? They're terrible.
Because the private sector can do anything government can do better.
Yeah, exactly, which reflects right back into what, you know, you and Sandra was talking about. With you know, these voting machines, wow, that makes no sense. Why would it? And see, this is the beauty of the internet. Right back into it, right? That guy voted and said, "Yo, what the hell's wrong with this?" I said, "I'm putting that shit on my iPhone. Boop boop. I'm uploading it as I'm recording it, and we got that now." You know, and it's just like, you know, we all knew Fox News was going to do the Black Panther. You know, I don't even know what time is it. What time?
Hey, give me some credit. I called that one.
Yeah, no, I know. That's, you know, that was my main driver for calling. I saw that guy called Bob right now. Are you kidding me? Are these people serious? There was one guy out there, and he was opening the door for people with a smile on
his face. But he was really frightening and black.
I know he's black.
I mean, if you see one, there's probably a sleeper cell of two.
No, you know, I mean, personally, I wouldn't have been in a uniform. I think that, you know, that's the same. It brings up the same emotion that, you know, to the white, you know, to the Fox News crowd, you know, brings up that same emotion that a neo-Nazi uniform would bring up to ours, or hopefully the right as well. You know, sometimes, though, you know, with all them skinheads, you never know, you know. As we all know, the Google searches from West Virginia and others, that's why they're almost defeating themselves when they do something like that. It's like the same thing with, you know, the minute Al-Qaeda turns into a government, they're doomed. You know, it's just a stupid thing to do, and you shouldn't do it, period.
Yeah.
Uniforms, you know, it feeds into the whole fear of President Obama's black army, you know, the youth army, with, you know, whatever they're talking about, where, like, what were they going to go do, plant trees? You know,
wait, Albert, you can't just be dismissing tree planting, because that's Kenyan muslin tree planting. That's anti-colonial, those are anti-colonialist trees.
You know, but... dreams of my real father. I don't even know if we ever even talked about such the stupid, relentless catapults of bullshit that these people have actually been spreading. I mean, those movies...
Trebuchets of bullshit.
It's just ridiculous. I mean, oh my God. And then, of course, that weaselly little bastard, what's his, Dinesh D'Souza, right?
With his honey.
Wait, with a girl that's not even his wife, and he says he's just a fiance. What a scumbag. You know, thank God Ann Coulter died of prostate cancer in 1994, because she would be hard, he would be heartbroken. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, by the way, two updates coming in, Albert, on Talibandiana. One, Jim observing, do you wonder why Cole Porter left Indiana in his life? Piru, Indiana. Just go there, Jim says. Meanwhile, Irish Dave says, it's historic. The state with the largest ever Klan membership? Yeah, Talibandiana.
Talibandiana. That's its name. Yeah, Indiana.
Oh, and I got to share something with you.
What we got?
You know how we've occasionally observed the fact that things get said here and then all of a sudden they come out of Van Jones's mouth? Hi, Van.
Hey, Van.
I don't think he's going to be listening anymore. Well, I sent out a snarky tweet earlier today.
Nah, he's not that thin-skinned. Come on.
Well, you know, I'd just gotten done watching probably my 15th Clean Coal ad on Chicken Noodle News.
Mm.
And I was overtaken, and I just tweeted, you know, at Van Jones, I know you know Clean Coal is a dirty lie. I know you know that mountaintop removal poisons people. What the are you doing on Clean Coal CNN? And I think it's a fair question.
Yeah, no, it is. But I think it's also a difficult. I mean, it's like the Maddow paradox. Do we want Rachel Maddow doing what she does, like almost no one else does it? You know, her average for mistakes, just even mistakes, I mean, she's probably batting like a 995 or something. I mean, she's ridiculous. You know, she is pretty accurate. Does she talk about everything? No, but she can't. You know, I mean, and we all know the kind of the topics of conversation you really can't, you know, so I don't know. Do you want let Clean Coal pay for Van Jones to sit out there and talk? I mean, that's kind of how I'm going to approach it because I want Van Jones. I want him out there, and I want him talking to people. The minute he says that there's no such thing as clean coal, well, then they run the commercial. You know what I mean?
But the thing is, I've never heard him say it on CNN, and I've seen him several times now.
I don't even watch no CNN, so I can't even.
I know. But I can't help it. You know, I broke the Jones, but every now and then I go back for a little taste. You know. Right. I mean,
yeah. Well, I mean, you know, and sometimes I'll tell you right now, what's that man baby and the goat painted on goatee there? That guy, sometimes it may be even
Chuck Todd?
Chuck Todd.
The man baby.
Man baby. He's just a cherub and a half, ain't he?
Oh,
what a ball of slime that
he's
guy
He's just
is.
Precious. Yeah, because voting irregularities are the same as birther garbage. I want him. I want that carved on his tombstone. I want him to wear that everywhere he goes. And apparently it's rub salt into the wounds night here at the Horn, Albert. Just heard from Brandon in Brooklyn. Sorry, Bob, you're stuck with Blanche Mansion for another 6 years. Brandon also says, I'd say Van Jones, writing in on Facebook, I'd say Van Jones is on Clean Coal Cable News Network purely for the exposure. He'll go wherever they'll give him a voice. If Fox News is enemy territory, CNN is Casablanca. Ooh, what a comparison. Hey, Howard, I got to roll. I'm going to try to get another call in. Yeah.
All right, brother.
We'll be back in 3 hours.
All right, sir. I'll be with you.
All right. Bye-bye. Thanks, brother. Bye now. Brother Albert calling from Wisconsin. He is the sage of the southwest portion thereof. And let's get one more call in. Remember, we're back at midnight Eastern, 9 Pacific. Hey, welcome to the program.
Me?
Yeah, you.
Oh, I'll be here.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, you guys are great straight lines tonight. Excuse me.
Well, I'm a pro that way.
Wow, man, I've been, and, you know, man, Mandel's getting stomped, huh?
That's the last I saw from Jug of Punch in the chat room. When you hear this, maybe you can update us.
Well, you know, the bottom line with Ohio is the counties that vote rabbits and trees, they come in early. The urban stuff, the industrial towns, they come in late.
Yeah, they're a while, didn't they?
My mom used to work the booth back in the, it was the 50s. $12 a day they got. It was all hand-counted and, you know, and of course we know hand counting boxes of ballots would disappear too. You know.
Oh well.
One of the funniest lines was Dick Gregor was when he ran against Old Man Daley, and the vote was running late, and Dick Gregor said they had to wait for the cemetery vote to come in.
Yeah.
And then the other thing, these the damn machines. You know, if you got caught hacking a machine in a casino. You see what I wrote to you there? Look at it.
Oh yeah, you go play baseball with Robert De Niro.
Yeah, you go out in the cornfield. Look, the guy's got a bat. They're gonna play ball. Yeah, you don't get caught doing that. But I mean, the whole thing is ridiculous. Proprietary? Are you kidding me? This should be companies and I don't know. I'm an old guy, and if we get Willard, I'm done. It's time to find a hole and just give up. You know, for my age, it's like, well, how stupid are these people? And I wish an evening for O'Reilly and Slanthead Hannity and Fat Ass Ailes and Murdoch. I wish them a night with the original Black Panther Party in some alley in Oakland. See how they'd like that.
You got to think that would be enjoyable.
Yes, the new Black Panther Party. Are you kidding me? Man, they keep digging stuff up. What was it? Some old guy walking with a white cane with a red tip. Is that what they what they had on? I mean, come on. It's just I'm a sick son of a.
Well, we should add that you're also visually impaired, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So you know that's a legal joke for you.
Yeah, I would never carry one of those things. That's an open invitation that says, here, assault this old guy.
Yeah, know? Right. Mug me now.
Yeah. I mean, if I got a cane like that, I want the one that has a special lead bottom on it. So that's, I can't help it, you know, Bob. The 50s were a time not to grow up. I mean, there was a joke that there was a guy that wanted to show here. He was a West Virginia person, and his joke was the rich guys were the guys that made it all the way to Cleveland before their car blew up.
Well, there's some sad truth in that. Hey, Bill, I got to roll because we're up against it.
All right,
but
I'll catch you later, man.
Well, if you're still up after midnight, we'll be here.
Oh man, I never sleep. Take care.
All right, see you, Bill. Bye now.
Bye bye.
Our buddy Bill, Mr. Stress from Cleveland, and it is time to get out. Thanks to everybody who makes all of this happen. You with your kind contributions. That keep the engine running, as it were. Thank you very kindly. The PayPal button is at headonradionetwork.com. Things like the upcoming 3 hours of extended broadcasting couldn't happen without you. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors. Conversation lines will be open at midnight Eastern, 9 Pacific. Jump right in. The conversation is mighty fine. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff, Lottie and Sparky in the chat room. Thanks to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan. Thanks to our blogger, Texas Betsy. Thanks to John Fox, who will be joining us post-midnight, I hope. Thanks to Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks always go out to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and ACHECT.org, ACHECT.org. You can be a part of helping to end the agony of Appalachia by going to ACHECT.org, learning about the ACHE Act, and then advocating with your elected member of the House to get him or her to sign it, and then to help us get it passed and send it on to the Senate. So I'm not going to play Hell No, I Ain't Happy on the way out tonight. Drive-by truckers, Hell No, I Ain't Happy. We're going to wait and see if we've got a reason one way or the other after midnight. So thanks, everybody, and always, always, always. Gina, Judy, it's all for you.